Injured in a car accident? We cap attorney's fees at 30% of the first million. Any recovery above that is all yours. No recovery, no fees or costs. If another lawyer wants more, Lawyer Up 904. For accidents, injuries, and more, Lawyer Up 904, Jacksonville.
Rise and shine, Guggins, go time on a Friday morning. It's the best drill of the week. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's the last one of the week. We've built to a crescendo. Oh, our closing act promises to be terrific today. So thanks for being with us. It'll include the Friday five-pack. Maybe get you a little holiday cash in your pocket. Boys are heating up a little bit. We got nobody under 500. Nobody's killing it yet. But that's coming. I would have taken an L last night. First of all, good morning, E.T. How are we doing in there?
Yeah, what it do, Jeffrey?
Yeah, the low-carb little kick that I'm on, it's getting kicked in the teeth a little bit later this morning when the Dash delivers the sandwich of the month, which just happens to be the Mexican variety this go-around. Tacos for everybody. It's going to be a Taco Friday in studio. Hey, man, I am not afraid to eat tacos at 7:45 in the morning.
You and me neither.
Yeah, if you think I am, you'd be mistaken on that one. So we look forward to another terrific edition of a little Dash surprise. I love when Dash comes by. So got the word last night. We're rocking and rolling on that. All right. What do you do on the Jags off week? There's probably a segment of the audience, maybe a smaller one, who just takes a week away from football. Oh, from the grind, it's almost an obligation. Just you have to watch the Jags on Sunday. You got to arrange what you're doing. You got to make sure you're either there or around the TV. And this week you get freed up a little bit. I don't know about you. My Sunday will be spent like other Sundays. I will be chest deep in the National Football League. But our Jags take a week to, hopefully try and get things right. And I had a fleeting dream. And I don't mean a literal one where my eyes are closed and I'm asleep. I mean, I kind of had a little bit of hope that the Titans, with a tough stretch of games here over the next three or four, could drop two or three for us, get the Jags within a game or two if they can come out hot, and that's a huge if. I get it. Hey, look, we wait all year for the season. I'm not going to completely bail on any mathematical chance in mid-November. I'm not. I'm not going to scream to you that it's a likelihood, but I'm not ready just to completely shut her down. But any hopes of the Titans and maybe a tougher stretch of the schedule here might allow some of the ne'er-do-wells to creep back in. That kind of got dispatched a little bit last night. And so after losing at Kansas City a couple of weeks ago, Sunday night football, the Titans have responded. They beat Denver last week at home barely. They just win ugly, don't they, those Titans? Nothing real pretty about them. Usually low-scoring games. This is the first time the Titans have scored at least 20 points in well over a month, and in that stretch, they're 4-1. Playing Titan football, handing it to Derrick Henry, relying on their defense. It's probably about time that we elevate Mike Vrabel a level in our coaching hierarchy. We talk about the best coaches in the league. Vrabel's name never comes up. And in fairness, to really reach that echelon, you got to win championships, right? You got to win Super Bowls. Andy Reid was a good coach, became a great one when he won a Super Bowl. And so that's what's missing from the resume. Last year, you'll remember the Titans were a top seed and were summarily dispatched. Ryan Tannehill had an awful game against the Cincinnati Bengals that day, and Cincinnati used that as a springboard, went all the way to the Super Bowl. Now, the Titans this year, a little bit more under the radar. Remember how the season started so inauspiciously for Tennessee? This is when you know you're a good team. We don't go crumbling under that stat that we threw out at you at the beginning of the year where 0-2 teams just really very rarely make, what was it, like 12% of the 0-2 teams make the postseason? The Titans started with a loss at home to the Giants. Remember they went to Buffalo and lost 41-7? Is that like a Monday night football game even? And like their entire season was on the line when they hosted the Raiders. Remember, both teams were 0-2. Tennessee escaped that day 24-22. And listen to these games, man. At Indy by a touchdown, 24-17. At Washington by 4, 21-17. Home against Indy, got a 9-point win. Went to Houston, barely won, 17-10. At Kansas City, a 20-17 loss. At home against Denver, trailing at 1.10-3, they win 17-10. And then last night at Green Bay, kind of a dual-purpose victory. Completely cements and establishes Tennessee as a playoff team, even though they have Cincinnati next week, and then it's a trip to the Eagles. The South needed them to have a little stumble here, to go on a little losing streak. And it just seems like the Titans, when they're healthy and they have Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, it seems like they're kind of streak-proof. It just don't look like a team that's going to drop three in a row and let everyone back in it. And last night was a good example at a soon-to-be frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Had a little snow last night. The Titans beat the Packers by 10. They did it with balance. They've got Treylon Burks, that first-round pick, back. Dontrell Hilliard, the backup to Derrick Henry, is becoming a piece they use within their offense. And victory formation for Tennessee, and a lot of questions in Green Bay about the future as they move forward. A lot of questions. Where does Aaron Rodgers go at the end of this year? You know, driven perhaps by the lunacy of the ayahuasca this offseason, Rodgers has been a disaster. And last night was probably as bad a performance as I've seen, or that you can see, out of Aaron Rodgers from the standpoint of just missing open guys. Right, those best in the league, those guys that we haven't coronated, they've earned that distinction. The Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady, the Drew Brees and Peyton Manning before him, the Mahomes right now. Those guys earn that distinction because they never miss open guys, like ever. But Rodgers last night, very sketch. And Green Bay still stayed in the game. They have some pass game weapons that are emerging. That suddenly that Christian Watson looks like a heck of a draft pick. He's got 5 touchdowns the last 2 weeks, 2 more last night. And the Pack got it within 2017, but couldn't make plays when they had to. And, man, a couple things happened with that victory last night, and then we'll move on. A couple things happened, like, from a standings standpoint. Tennessee is extending from the division. I know the Colts got a nice win at Indy Vegas last week. You know, I know at 4-5-1, they're holding on to hope. Tennessee is now 7-3. So after an 0-2 start, they've gone 7-1. They are extending from the AFC South. And man, you could argue over in the NFC, the North is now done. I mean, the Packers are 6 games back of the Vikings in the loss column. They're gonzo. Vikings are 8-1. I believe they host Dallas this weekend. Strangely, Dallas, I think, is favored in that game. We've got some interesting betting lines when we get into the Friday 5-pack a little bit later today. I mean, really interesting betting lines. There's some teams that are favored that you would think would be underdogs. There are some spreads that are a lot larger or smaller than you would think they would be. So we got shenanigans, I think, coming up in the Friday 5-pack. But the Vikings at 8-1. It's the Packers 4-7, the Lions 3-6, the Bears 3-7. Go ahead and print up those pretty purple T-shirts up there in Minneapolis that say North Division Champs 2022. I don't think it's mushable at this point. I will kind of set the table, though, for you for a National Football League weekend that doesn't include the Jags. It makes us turn our attention to some other games. Dan and I kind of scooted through the schedule one day earlier this week, and the takeaway is there's a lot of toss-ups. There are games this week that who's going to win this game, and then are you sure? It's interesting to see what the NFL has done with the Bills game. This actually made good sense. You know, sometimes we often step in and say, oh, what a dumb decision. Oh, look at these guys, millions of dollars, making 10-cent choices. But in this case, this made perfect sense. It's unfair for the for the Bills Mafia, who I suspect will find their way to Detroit one way or the other. E.T., do me a map check in there if you would, friend. How far is it from Cleveland to Buffalo to Detroit? What do we got there? It's probably a little closer than we think, but is it 5 hours or is it more than that? Because I can remember chatting with Brunel at Tony's induction at Canton over the summer, and Mark had flown in for the induction day and the party.
From Buffalo to Detroit?
Yeah, Buffalo to Detroit.
4 hours and 15 minutes.
It's, you know what's amazing about other parts of the country? Because of where we live in Florida especially, there's nothing within like 5-6 hours of us, is there really, right? I mean, Tampa, Orlando. But if you're up, you get in that upper, you get up north, and you're amazed at how close these cities are. Like, would you in your mind have thought it was closer from Buffalo to Detroit than it was from like Jax to Miami?
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot, but all the, and the same thing on that corridor, like Philly and New York, Washington, but it's all so much closer together than you think within a couple of hours, and it leads to some of those great rivalries. So, four and a half drive, that's not bad, but if you're a Buffalo Bills season ticket holder and you have a home game pulled from the backyard and moved to Detroit, that's a little bit of a bummer. But if there is any fan base that can withstand a move and still show a definite home field advantage, even in their, I guess, temporary home for a week, it would be Bills Mafia. But that Bills-Browns game is probably a bit of an advantage for the Browns if you can have one at 3-6 from the standpoint. They don't have to deal with – that's probably – I don't know. Maybe it's not an advantage. Maybe the Browns would rather have the Bills in those elements, right, where their offense gets, put on notice a little bit more. Cleveland wants to run the football. I mean, it can be windy and cold and snow and doesn't matter much for them. Now it's inside on the fast turf. They took this game off the board. In fact, they canceled all bets that had been made because it was originally scheduled for Buffalo. But now that it's in Detroit, the Bills reestablished as an 8-point favorite. But the reason this is so smart is because Thanksgiving is Thursday. And if you weren't aware, the Bills play at Detroit. So, although with just 4.5 hours away, it's not like they'll stay there. But I don't know. Site check for the Buffalo Bills, who, by the way, need to get heated up. They have not looked spectacular at all in losing two in a row, one at the Jets and then a home loss to Minnesota where you had a big lead. You know, the schedule should be considered friendly these next 8 days. They've got Cleveland and Detroit, and then they're at Detroit. These are two teams with 3-6 records. The Bills at 6-3. They need to get their stuff together, you know what I'm saying? Because then it's three big ones in the division, a division now that is, locked up with four teams. The Patriots at 5-4. Bills and Jets both 6-3. And Miami, I believe, is 7-3. But after this little Detroit two-step, the Bills will go at New England, home against the Jets, and then home against Miami, a little stretch that will really go a long way toward deciding the AFC East, I would imagine. All right, we'll preview the college football weekend as we move along. I'm just hoping that, FSU and Florida don't mess around this weekend and make next week's game as intriguing as possible. Hey, Friday nighter, again, I threw this out there. I seem to be on an island a little bit. I love the Friday night game. I would prefer it to be this Friday night as I'm home and just enjoying the holidays, all comfy after a two-day, gorging. Friday, next Friday is going to be a heck of a sports day. We got a World Cup game. I believe Team U.S. plays England on that day in the afternoon. Florida and Florida State both play college basketball, and they are like big-time matchups against ranked teams. And then the Gators and Noles that Friday night. I mean, I don't know about you. I'd kind of like to see the Ohio State-Michigan game. It's kind of gets left out of the formula. Ohio State-Michigan will play on noon on Saturday. Guess where Florida and Florida State would have been stuck? Noon on Saturday. Give me Florida FSU Friday night. I'll enjoy the heck out of it and then have my Saturday freed up to bounce around some of these big matchups and rivalries that will, in some cases, help define the playoff picture even more clearly. Florida and Florida State play basketball tonight. We'll give a little bit of look inside what's going on in these programs. We haven't talked much hoops yet, right? That makes sense. Well, with the Jags off and a full Friday in front of us and FSU and Florida renewing their basketball rivalry, Gators finally got them last year, but the Noles had rattled off like 7 in a row. They're off to an 0-3 start in Tallahassee, so we will detail why that has happened and kind of give you a primer on a Gator basketball team that if you haven't watched yet, you're going to recognize Colin Castleton, and that's about it. We got the quarterback whisperer in with us today, Denny Thompson. We continue to track the progress of, man, I mean, it doesn't get old. It's like a week-to-week venture with Trevor Lawrence, Anthony Richardson, and Jordan Travis. I mean, these are three guys that are right here in our sights. And I wonder if this trend in the NFL of drafting first quarterbacks in the first round when you have a competent, perhaps better quarterback on your own roster will ever end. And I've got another thought on that from after watching the game last night. So let's take our first break. We're going to come back and see what's happening out on the water. I tell you right now, it's cold and windy out there, so I don't know what kind of fishing day it is. Kev is out of town. As always happens, and I can't complain, E.T., because I went forever leaving the bait bucket empty. But I got off the air last Friday. You did an excellent job of reminding me. I went and got Captain Kev his 12-pack of bait. Came back, put it in the fridge, knowing full well he'd be in on Saturday for the outdoor show. He was going to bring me boiled peanuts, if you remember. And I've noticed that the 12-pack of bait's just still sitting in there. It's just still sitting there in the fridge. So what can I do? I
mean, hey,
I
went, that ain't your fault.
Well, I went forever to get it to him. So, I mean, he can leave it there as long as he wants. I was kind of looking forward to those boiled peanuts. Although now it got, you know, Miss P's got me carbo denying. Boiled peanuts aren't going to work as well. Anyway, Captain Scotty Shanks steps in and always does an excellent job as a pinch hitter. So let's see what he's got to offer, as this may be like the official signaling of the fishery changing. And by the fishery, you just mean, well, you know, what fish are in what season. And this cold weather snap is one that's kind of going to stick around longer. We've seen 90 for the last time this year, right, for sure. And mid to upper 80s are probably very doubtful. So now you get some, you really get some shifts in some of your strategies, quite frankly, to make sure that you catch fish if and when you go out this weekend. So we'll talk to Captain Scotty when we return. The MVPs have been announced. We'll get to that this hour. Football Fix coming up a little bit later. And just so happy you're with us on a GFL Friday that's green for life. Look for those bright green trucks and cans now roaming all over town. All right, back on a GFL Friday. The MVPs were given out yesterday. We have our own little MVP right now. It's Captain Scotty Shanks. Going to tell us what's happening while Kevin goes AWOL on us. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. You know, I teased before the break, you know, we can kind of teeter on the edges of, you know, fisheries crossing over. But when you get a cold, windy, wet snap like this and the cold weather stays, does that mean it's time that we, you know, start targeting some different stuff more consistently?
We are. And that's a great subject to bring up. It is the change of seasons. Here we go. So the new kid on the block now that's going to start taking over are going to be your sheephead and your trout. This week, the uptick in sheephead fishing and the sale of fiddlers has increased immensely, along with the trout reports of seeing more and more speckled trout being caught. So as we fall into the wintertime fishery and stuff like that, you're going to see everybody targeting more towards the sheephead fishing, black drum fishing, and the speckled trout. Unfortunately, the offshore bite's going to be shut down for a little while with the weather. There's never anything good with a north wind. I don't care who you are or what you are. I have never seen a north wind 5 to 10 knots. So the offshore fishery is going to be shut down for a few days, which kind of stinks because the guys have been catching out there quite a few blackfin tunas. The sailfish bite's increasing day by day, and all that is being fairly done shallow, anything in between like 130 and 160 feet of water.
What is the border for how far you can? I mean, can you go to the jetties, or is there a certain point that you're either inshore or nothing at all?
No. Jetties, I mean,
as long as you're not going way out.
Yeah. No. I'm fortunate enough for the people out of Mayport, you have both sides of the jetty to fish off of. Unfortunately, down here in St. Augustine,
yeah,
we only have a south jetty.
Yeah.
So a north wind blows, you're done.
Gotcha.
So we're you know, going to be fishing docks, you know, oyster bars, stuff like that if we're fishing for sheephead. Predominantly, again, down here because the way our intercoastal runs, on a north-northeast wind, it's just so tough to fish. Monday and Tuesday were gorgeous. Wednesday, when that front came through down here, it went from somewhat nice to an intercoastal that was, you know, two and a half foot.
Yeah.
As soon as that wind picked up. So with that wind, with the north and the northeast as a forecast for the next, you know, 4 or 5 days here, it is. You're going to have to keep it in, you know, tucked in kind of tight. You know, you're not going to be able to do any venturing out in any main huge bodies of water.
Gotcha. Scotty, excellent job as always, my man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Steph. It was a pleasure.
All right. There he goes. Yeah. That's Captain Scotty Shanks. Does a great job. Always, every time I go out with Kev, it's been a handful of times, and, you know, he and Captain Scott usually headed out about the same time. What a good group of dudes down there, man. Good group. All right, the big fish in the Major League pond this year was, without a doubt, Aaron Judge. He capped his historic season with an MVP award yesterday, and now a permanent spot in the memories of baseball fans. It coincides, by the way, I saw the $3 million offer at auction for his record-setting home run ball was rejected. It's going to take more than that, dude says. I've determined that autographed memorabilia is the cryptocurrency of sports fandom. It's like so, like there's no official way to put any value on it. I guess it's worth what someone is willing to pay, but he's the first outfielder for the Yankees to win the MVP since Mickey Mantle in 1962, huh? How about that? It's been 60 years since a Yankees outfielder won. He also adds and pads the Yankees lead for the most MVPs in Major League history. I believe now they have won, is it 21 times now, maybe? Judge, just fourth player in Major League to hit more than 62 homers in a season, joined the steroid brothers of the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. And now he enters free agency, man, with a blank check, one would assume. For those that were wondering, is as good and as multi-talented as he is, it was just about a clean sweep for Aaron Judge over Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani got 2 first-place votes, got all the second-place votes. Judge got 28 first-place votes and the 2 second-place votes. And then Yordan Alvarez, who was so good for the Astros in the postseason, was 3rd in the voting. Over the National League, this is what I found most interesting as I'm digesting Paul Goldschmidt winning the National League MVP, right? Presumably, Goldschmidt's been a good player, right? He, first for the Diamondbacks, the last few years for the Cardinals. He's been around a little bit. As good as he's been, you'd have to say this is his best year. He won the MVP. Dude's 35. And what was it? This is not, oh my gosh, Goldschmidt will be done soon. It's, you know, if you go sign a 31-year-old free agent for 4 or 5 or 6 years, it's not necessarily some dumb investment and the guy's not going to be producing at the end of the contract. And in this case, I'm really thinking more specifically about Freddie Freeman. You know, and the concern about the Braves and re-signing Freeman or anyone signing long-term is that by the end of the deal, he'll be 37, 38 years old. Well, I mean, here's Goldschmidt showing you that at age 35, playing the best baseball of his career, those were your two MVPs from Major League Baseball this year. And again, you know, small consolation. Major League Baseball is a team sport. And the two teams playing in the World Series and the one team that raised the banner didn't have any MVPs, did they?
Now, slow your roll. It's time for Jeff's Gator Growl. Brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists.
All right, let's go a little bit inside this week's Florida trip. It's the second time in 3 weeks. The Gator's going to get an early wake-up call. Billy Napier is just playing this CE role to the hilt, right? And they're already thinking about adjustments to make based off of what happened at Texas A&M. Overall, it was a great game for Florida, right? They won 41-20. But remember the slow start. Texas A&M. It's 11 a.m. Central Time now. It's not. Listen, you 6 o'clockers, we've been getting up and going early, 4, 5, 6 in the morning for a while now. But you might remember how it was when you're 18, 19, 20 years old. I mean, getting up at 6 o'clock, I mean, it felt like you never went to bed, man. It's just rougher when you're young. It's a different game when you're young. And look at the intern in there, huh? Right? He's in extra early today. Those aren't the normal hours when you're young and having fun. Now you're just like a pair of shoes. Get out there and get them. But so anyway, I mean, Florida's team is playing an 11 a.m. East, you know, local time. It'll be noon Eastern time, and that's probably what matters. But point being, Gators started slow at Texas A&M with that early kickoff. Really slow. They were behind, trailing most of the half and at the half to a team that they ultimately handled pretty solidly, and the thought was they should have. So Napier's making some adjustments, didn't say exactly what. The Gators take on Vanderbilt, and this isn't your typical doormat Vandy. From the opening game where they put like 60 points on Hawaii through last week's SEC win, their first in like 28 games, Vandy's 4-6. Now, Florida should handle them. And I'm not going to, you know, sit here and present a situation where the Gators shouldn't handle them. Meanwhile, Billy Napier is happy that his guys are starting to see the fruits of their labor. They've gone through some rough patches. They've lost what turns out to be to 3 really good teams and another pretty good one. Can they finish this thing out strong, which will include another opportunity against a ranked opponent in Florida State in the season finale? First, though, it's Vandy this weekend.
You know, these kids have been working extremely hard, working hard at their routine specifically, you know, their process, their weekly approach, and to see them start to get some rewards, right, you know, I think of the work. And, you know, as a coach, you've been pushing them to their limits, you know, for a long time, and to get to a point where it starts to, you know, there's fruit from their labor, if that makes sense.
Well, it does, because that's just exactly how I phrased it, I reckon. Meanwhile, you know, part of that, you see, right? You see they've had some players dismissed on defense. The young guys have stepped up and performed in their absence. With Justin Shorter out at receiver, we've seen Caleb Douglas, a freshman from Texas. You know, I think they just kind of gave him an opportunity to play at Texas A&M. You know, he's a freshman from there, gets to go home, he play, and you know, he caught 4 or 5 passes then. Both Shorter and Frazier's were out last week. Douglas stepped up again. Frazier's the week before that as well. Young guys are getting a chance and in some cases showing like they're going to be a part of what the future of Florida football is.
A lot of young players that are improving and playing with confidence. I think as a coach, that's probably the best thing about the profession is seeing that process. And that's kind of, I think, where we're at defensively in particular.
Like to see Anthony Richardson stay on a roll. He's played better football, you know, from the touchdowns to turnover category. And in so many ways, he's been a more willing runner. He's going to really need to be that in Tallahassee next Friday. First things first, though, it's Vandy this weekend as Richardson continues to fine-tune his game. And, gosh, we get an inside look every Friday, really, with Denny, who you know, has coached him individually. But whether or not Anthony Richardson turns pro, there's still at least 3 games left as a Gator, and that means still work to do.
Comfort with the role, you know, as a leader. He's a humble guy. He's a hardworking guy. He cares about his players, cares about his teammates. Secondly, I think the knowledge of defense structure, front pressure coverage, how the puzzle fits together. And then I think protections is probably the third part, you know, just learning how our concepts work with what they do, strengths and weaknesses, what are the issues each week, getting to a point where he really understands.
All right, are we juiced for the World Cup?
Not like normal.
Interested in it?
Yeah.
Will you make a point to try and watch the U.S. games?
I'm going to watch some of it. I'm not going to be glued, but I'm going to watch some of it. And as they start winning, I'll probably get more glued to it.
Simon says, rank for me. And come over here to the microphone real quick, my friend. Let's attack this demo, 18U. And you're not the expert. I just want your opinion. You got your boys you hang out with are also sports fans?
Yeah.
All right. Put the sports in order for me in, like, popularity and interest. NFL?
Yeah. Well, you want me to say, like, NFL, like, league-wise? You want me to say, like, football, basketball?
Yeah. I want NFL.
League-wise? Okay. I'll go NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. Then college football.
Okay.
And then NBA.
Okay.
MLB.
MLB, that high, fourth. Yeah,
we don't talk about soccer.
At all.
No, yeah. Track and field probably comes before soccer.
Okay, it's interesting.
Group.
There's a narrative, you know, that soccer has gained this incredible popularity. I do think it is a lot more popular than it was, say, 10 years ago. But you're dispatched. Thank you. Simon Says. That's all we needed. Don't get too comfy over there. All right. Listen, the World Cup has caught our sports fandom's attention. It has the last few years, and we've been terrible. So I'm interested to see, you know, what kind of bump, what kind of juice we're going to get. Now, Simon says, will you watch the World Cup? Will you make an effort to watch the World Cup, or if you happen to catch it? No. It's okay. He will watch that. Well, I will say this, for those of you that don't watch, and I've kind of repeated this a little bit, the USA's roster is it's better than it's ever been. It's more capable of competing with good teams than it's ever. There have been games in the past that the USA played they had no chance to win. There's still those games that they would be heavy underdogs, but I'm not sure there's a team or a country that the U.S. could play where they now have no chance to win. They've got guys now that are scoring goals and playing at high levels in the best leagues in the world. So the U.S., I bring this up, the U.S. gets started on Monday. The games are going to be, you better carve some time. Now, thankfully, it's around the holiday time, so I don't know if that helps, but 2 p.m. kicks for all of their group stage games. It's 2:00 on Monday against Wales, 2:00 next Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving, against England, and then Iran is Tuesday, November 29th, so a week from Tuesday at 2:00. All three of those teams are good. I think we looked, they're all three ranked in the top 20 worldwide rankings. And the U.S. is also. So, not the group of death, per se, that they sometimes categorize, but a good group nonetheless. If you want to get in the mood for the World Cup, this one did not come without controversy. Netflix has a series called FIFA Uncovered that goes into just how this bid was awarded to Qatar, who has no business hosting a World Cup. This is so obviously on the take. Qatar doesn't play meaningful soccer. It's in the middle of the freaking desert. This is so obvious that it's just grease the palms, pad the wallet. Sure, Qatar, here's your World Cup. We've seen some sketchy video of like some accommodations and others. We'll see how this thing goes off. And we've also told you, you know, with Brittany Griner as the example, what goes in whatever country you live in doesn't necessarily go in countries you may be visiting. They don't mess around with, like, public intoxication in Qatar. Well, soccer is public intoxication. You're going to bring those hooligans in from Europe and tell them they're not drinking? Yeah, they may need a little bit of extra. They need some diplomatic lawyers, like, on site there, because there's going to be some cultural clashes, I would think. All right, what does the Jaguars wide receivers coach need most out of his team? He'll tell you when we return. We'll also tee up a football fix, take you around the National Football League as we boom at you live here from the South Side.
I think right now, to be honest with you, waiting to see who those alpha dogs from an offensive perspective, you know, who's going to set themselves apart from everybody else? Who's going to be that leader? Who's going to be pissed? Who's going to get them to jump on ship and to lock in and to call people out, you know, to make them accountable when things aren't going right? I think we're still learning that, to be honest with you. So who's going to be that alpha dog that steps up and demands us to be great?
That's receivers coach Chris Jackson. Listen, I appreciate the message there. Kind of late for that, isn't it? We're 10 games in. They are what they are. What do you mean, alpha dog? I'd like somebody, I don't know, catches the ball when it's thrown to him, but it's kind of late to be in search of alpha dogs to bail you out.
That dog been in hibernation.
I mean, right? I mean, that's one bye week, and suddenly guys are going to come back foaming at the mouth. I mean, they are what they are. So, the alpha. I mean, if what do you mean by the alpha? Or do we have an alpha emerging in Green Bay, for example? That Christian Watson, man. Whew. Let's start a football fix with last night's Thursday nighter, and I bring up Watson. The bigger story is the Titans, who win again after that 0-2 start. They've won 7 out of 8. They're 7-3, going to cruise to a AFC South title. Aaron Rodgers, very sketchy last night. He took blame as he missed a bunch of throws, open throws, easy throws for a guy of his talent level. He did hook up twice more, though, with the rookie Watson, who suddenly has 5 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. I think that's the kind of... Don't we want to see that on the other side of the ball from Trayvon Walker? In fairness to Walker and his rookie year and the progress that he's going to make in getting better, I'm sure up in Milwaukee Sports Radio 3 weeks ago, Christian Watson's game wasn't, and his name wasn't spoken with a lot of respect on it. He'd been a disappointment. Remember, he got wide open and dropped
it.
A bomb. The very first play of the season, I think it was.
Yep.
And he's just underwhelmed and underperformed, and now the last 2 weeks seems to get it with a bunch of catches, a bunch of yards, and now 5 touchdowns in 2 weeks. Wasn't enough, though. Derrick Henry, the first in the NFL to 1,000 yards. Man, Henry stays healthy, and he's a guarantee. That's what he's become. I do see him kind of get hit and stuck at that second level, the linebacker spot, a little more than he did in the past. But he's still just always a rumble away from like a 45-yarder, isn't he? He ran for a touchdown. He threw a touchdown last night.
That play call was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. They handed it off to him. He kind of took 2 steps toward the middle like he was going to battering ram through, and then he stopped and did a little jump pass to the tight end. And touchdown Packers. I mean, Titans. Packers were in the game. It was 20-17 before Tennessee salted it away with a beautiful pass. Ryan Tannehill had his A game last night. If he plays like he did last night. The Titans in an AFC that looks winnable. I mean, I guess we could say that if you're the Titans, I don't think you're just scared to death of the Chiefs. You lost to him with Malik Willis. He completed like 5 passes all night, and you lost 20-17. So the Titans just seem, with Mike Vrabel, positioned where they always are, just like a dirt dauber team. They're not pretty and flashy and a point a minute, but they stay in your face mask and appear on their way to another AFC South and another chance to go through the playoffs. The NFL, knowing that 3 to 4 feet of snow were going to fall on Buffalo this weekend, have moved the Browns-Bills game to Detroit, where it's indoors. Ironically, the Bills play there again on Thursday. You know, if this was they were moving it to L.A., then I guess they would stay for the week. But it's just a little 4-hour trip, you know, and would be, what, a 40-minute flight probably. For the Bills. We'll see how Bills Mafia responds. I mean, many probably already had plans to go over to Detroit for Thanksgiving. Do they just, you know, make it a long, 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 long weekend? Head over there now. Bills need to get right, man. 6-3 and losers of 2 straight. Now, players all over the league are screaming. They're clamoring. It's the hot narrative right now. We need to go to grass fields. We need to go to grass fields. So MetLife Stadium is replacing their field in 2023 with field turf. Not with grass. The players are screaming into the abyss when it comes to this. There is no, by the way, scientific or medical data that shows at all that you're more likely to get injured on the field turf. There's just not. Eagles have added Ndamukong Suh. Suh is a name that has kind of lingered out there, wondering what contender, if any, would ultimately make a move on him. And that contender will be the Eagles, who are trying to add some beef on their defensive line after some injuries. Well, you wonder why the Broncos are getting confused on offense. There is a former NFL vet that says Russell Wilson still gets stuck sometimes and uses his old Seahawks audibles with his new team. That would be a problem. And because there was a microphone in front of him, Jalen Ramsey said the Lakers' LeBron James would have no chance in the NFL. What a brave statement. In other words, that's Jalen saying, man, I came out here in L.A. to hobnob and be a part of the LeBron posse, and he doesn't pay any attention to me. Aren't I a bigger deal than that? Jalen stopped short of saying he, on the other hand, would be a perennial all-star in the NBA. That's a football fix. You're welcome. Cuddle up with that 3-6 record, Jalen. Happy Thanksgiving. Hick and Rival and more come your way next. The football fix is always brought to you by Allstate agent Mandy Bowers and Mandarin Home Life Business Auto. Your needs change, your habits change, and guess what? Your auto insurance rates can change based on how much you're driving. Find out about that. Find out more about that and everything else with the assurance agent Mandy Bowers in Mandarin.
Ladies and gents, please put your hands together as Dan Hicken enters the studio.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday, everybody.
You know it!
Friday,
sweet Friday!
Friday!
A little emotion, please, boys.
Weekend, partying, partying.
Hey!
Boots, man. Boots weather.
Hey, Jeff.
Boots weather. Come on, Friday.
Oh, Friday. Hi, Friday. Friday won't get in front of the camera.
Nah.
Friday got
come
the
on.
Boots
come
on.
Show.
Wait, everyone.
Come here.
Everyone knows what Friday's all about.
Friday, put the vape pen down.
Friday's talking to her ugly sister Tuesday.
Ugh.
Everyone hates her.
Ugh.
Wednesday's become somewhat of a pig.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Friday, however, just brings it.
Well, I just a couple things off the rip I want to thank you for.
What's that?
Well, thank you for convincing me that Green Bay was going to win last night.
It was hardly a staunch argument.
I was like, I really think Tennessee, Jeff. No, no, Dan. Go with Green Bay.
I never said anything.
And also,
we cannot listen to me.
Also want to thank you
We have too much time left in the lifespan of this program to become this.
I mean,
are you kidding me?
I also want to thank you for lifting Jags fans' spirits for less than 24 hours.
At least I try, huh?
Now,
negative Nancy over here.
6-6 Titans.
Debbie Downer. They refuses to believe. It's your fault.
6-6 Titans. Oh, God.
Man, I can dare to dream.
That's been,
I wait all season for football
Set
season.
Up those showdowns with Tennessee that we got coming up.
Well, now
that should go well.
I've readjusted. Now just I'll have to take into account that we have two left with them, and so we'll have to take care of win both games for the Titans, we're right back in it.
I love that.
I mean, we wait all year for football. We're just going to bail on it November 10th, I guess so.
Well, that's later than normal.
No, it's not. Not really.
It's like,
I mean,
2 years ago, we had bailed on it by like October 8th.
Yeah,
we were 1-5.
That wasn't a good year, was it?
Then last year was pretty much the same.
You know what? In fairness, we didn't bail. They did
when they put Luton
and those clowns in.
They bailed. I went over to ITP Partners yesterday.
Oh, how's that going for you?
Finance. That's good. As I was driving out there on JTB, by the way, minding my own business, Pross,
okay.
Driving along,
uh-huh.
All of a sudden, whap!
You got hit?
When something like that happens on my car or there's a loud noise,
okay.
I always get this shot of adrenaline like,
sure.
Am I hit? What happened?
He thinks he was shot. Jack Reacher? I think
somebody got me.
John Wick?
I think somebody palmed out at me, man. Capped me.
Wow.
And there's this big, giant, right in front of, on my windshield.
Oh, you got hit by a rock or something?
I guess.
Was there a big truck in front of you?
No, there was nothing.
The Googles are out throwing stuff at you now?
I don't know where it came from.
Nuts and bolts
and
such?
I got a big old, about an inch and a half cracker right there.
Well, the windshield. The good news is that, you know, that's like one of the few things in life that is free.
It is free.
Yeah, you call a glass place. They come out. They
place.
Put it right in.
They can come pull it right here.
Yeah, they probably charge your insurance company $18,000.
Right. For them. Yeah. Go ahead.
However that works.
I'll be getting that fixed. But yeah, so anyway, but I went out there and I got some. First off, don't bring on Simon Says again about soccer because, as you know, as an adjunct professor.
I'm asking somebody young. Yeah.
I know, but as an adjunct professor, okay. one of the observations I've told you now in teaching.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally,
that's what I thought. I was surprised.
Hundreds of kids is that they love soccer.
Yeah,
and they
well, I was more encouraged by Simon Says' perspective.
Yeah,
his guys don't count. Why has it got to be your classroom?
I think I didn't want to say this, but I think Simon Says really only has like a couple in the posse. E, do you get that feeling?
You think he's one of them?
I mean, you get the feeling that Simon runs with a big posse or a smaller posse, smaller group.
The squad ain't that big.
It's not that big.
So. Yeah. Hey, tiny. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah, you know, 2-3 guys.
Simon, that's about what I got. So we're in.
But that's how it's better like that.
Yeah, I don't want more.
Exactly.
That. That's
it's
correct.
Not a rip.
It kind of is.
Why do you take that as a rip?
It kind of makes him sound unpopular. And,
oh, no. Yeah. I love the kid.
Okay.
I complimented him the other day.
All right. Well, once you get okay, then everything else
is I have to keep complimenting? I mean,
no.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
I didn't compliment him or
but he's,
or
but
rip
he's
him.
But he's
I just
wrong.
Asked him a question. Well, he can't be wrong on his opinion.
No,
it's his
well,
opinion.
It's a smaller group.
Yeah. All right.
I've taught literally hundreds of American youth.
I've been trying to tell you soccer's, you know, on the upswing, and you don't like me saying it.
No, I don't like you saying anything.
You're a jerk. Happy Thanksgiving.
I'd rather just.
I almost that, right there
that's
said.
That's until next week.
I almost said a bad word there. I almost just went straight at DH. I almost did it. Not Dan Hicken.
Wow.
That would have been bad.
Anyway, so I got
dumb
some.
Dumb Hick.
I got some World Cup nuggets.
Oh, look
must.
At you know what? But can I peel back the curtain? There's a dude over there at ITP who's from England. This is where his sources are.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. So I said I went to ITP Partners and
you're
I
right.
got some information
oh, okay.
from our guys.
I didn't realize those were combined.
Oh, yeah. My bad. So must win Monday.
I thought the ITP Partners was about the explosion in the car.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That also occurred.
Okay.
Must win Monday.
Yeah. We got to beat Wales.
Must win.
2 o'clock. Kick.
Yeah. Or not must. Have to get a point. Is
will
what
you
I was
watch
told.
The game?
Must get a point.
Is that appointment
oh, yeah,
watch for you?
I'll watch.
That's an appointment watch. You'll sit down at 2, you'll watch the whole game. Now, will you, at what point, when there's not 5 goals in 8 minutes, start saying, soccer sucks, nothing's happening? How long will it take that for you? And that's a common thought. That's not an insult.
Yeah. I'll try to revert to it's the beautiful game.
Can I make one suggestion? As a guy who's watched a lot more soccer in the last 3 years than I have my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Treat soccer like a baseball game from this standpoint. If a team gets a breakaway, that's like your baseball team got a runner on second with one out. It doesn't always equal a goal, but it doesn't mean it was necessarily boring.
All right.
If you can do that. That's like the way – that to me
well, anyway.
Is – in other words, a 1-0 soccer game isn't much different than a 2-1 baseball
we
game.
Need points. We got to come out of there out of the group of death with 4 points.
Are we the group of death?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. But it's a very good group.
It is. They're all top 20
well,
in the world. We
well
talked
balanced
about
is what we have.
Oh. Yeah, they're all like 13 to 20.
And you're right. England. You're right about the gross negligence that went on with the FIFA. Is FIFA decide where the World Cup goes?
Yeah.
Yeah, them boys are just like that old IOC.
They're
used
worse.
To take all those gifts and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they're worse.
Yeah, this one is an all-timer. And he
there's
said
no reason for it to be.
There's two countries who could host right now, U.S. and England, because we have all the venues. And the point being, man, and he was like, could you imagine the World Cup being in the United States at like these hundred, like in Tennessee, 110,000, because they would all sell out,
yeah.
right? And so you'd have like 110,000.
We get the next one, I believe.
The Rose Bowl, the you know any big yeah. venue, any venue that seats, the more the merrier. You know?
I'm pretty sure the next World Cup is here.
Or the big house in Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, that's where. And also, he also, as soccer fan, soccer experts, disappointed with the lead up to it because it's just all of a sudden here. Usually it's a month of but because of the when it's being played.
In football.
It should be played in the summer.
Yeah,
but right. now here it is all of a sudden upon us. So
right. and it will get lot. It will lose a lot of its marquee here in the U.S. because of football.
Yeah,
it really will. Anybody
some
who's
of the
like,
things.
Yeah,
some of the things about the World Cup,
like that 2 o'clock Friday game. There'll be a large portion of the country that'll watch. You know, LSU Texas A&M. I don't know what that game is this year, but
it would
always
help us
a Friday
we,
game.
It would help us if we won Monday.
Yeah, for sure.
For Friday
interest
viewership.
Yeah. Next Friday sets up for me as like an awesome sports TV day.
You're
looking
almost,
forward to that.
You're almost going to tell Mrs. P and the fam, do go shopping.
Go buy whatever you want. Shopping. Here's my card, I'll tell you.
Yeah, here, go. Yeah. Oh, he
I'm
wants
trying to
it
figure out
that.
What we're doing for Thanksgiving. I'm not sure.
27 is the number I got at the Hicken household this year.
Coming to your house.
Oh.
Wow, woo. That's a big turnout.
E, by the way, you're invited if you would like to come.
All right.
If your mom's here, so you have family here, so
uh-huh.
I'm sure. But if you don't, you're more than welcome.
I might pull up now, Dan Hicken.
You're fine.
Don't
come
go
on.
In the pool. He pees in it.
Well, you can go in the pool. It's clean. That's what chlorine does.
Don't go in
it cleans
the pool.
It out.
I saw a funny that comes. Well, it's funny. I brought that up. I was seeing something on video, and there's this group of people like staying in Orlando or something, and there were some big girls and some guys, and they're sitting there, and all of a sudden, around one of the big girls, that blue, you know, they put that stuff in the pool.
They didn't.
Yes, that it shows where you're. You know, when you
nobody.
You know,
that's a wives' tale, isn't it?
No, they do that. You can do real. That.
Only time I've ever seen that is in the movie Grown
Ups. I think that's real.
I don't think it's
well,
real.
Well, then it was a Photoshop then, yeah. And I fell for it.
I don't think it's real.
I think some of these places put a little something in there that mixes with the, you
I
know,
don't care.
With the urine, pool, I believe is what they call it.
You go ahead and do
no, it's
you
not okay,
do.
But it was funny to look. She went like
pool,
this.
Ocean, it's all
she's
the
like,
same.
Looks like, oh, God. It's like, you're so busted. It was so funny. I mean, it's a shame you didn't see that.
Well, anyway.
I watched a movie yesterday that I seem to remember got terrible reviews.
Uh-huh.
I was okay.
Butter?
I was okay with it. I'm not saying it's great, but I think it's watchable. No, it's that, you know, this Jordan Peele has become quite the film.
Oh, yeah.
You know, producer. Us he did, right? Mm-hmm. He did Get Out was the bigger and better one.
I didn't like that one.
This was his fourth or his third. Am I missing one? There was Get Out. There was Us. Wasn't there one more? There's just three now. Well, this one's called Nope. You've heard of that, right?
Nope.
Yeah, Nope. It was and that word is featured a couple of times in the scenes in there. Nope.
Nope.
It was okay. It was an alien invasion movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. Mm-hmm. Wasn't terrible. Wasn't great. Get Out was so good and set the standard as his first one that it's going to be, you know, you're always going to kind of compare it to that. But
I stayed in.
It's
with
worth
the,
a watch, I'd say.
I stayed in with the pack pretty much. Kept waiting for them to come back, and they never did. And the Titans just.
They're the
Titans. It's a weird team, man. They're good. And when Tannehill plays like he played last night. And that's what Derrick Henry brings you.
Yeah.
Because the pack sold out to stop Derrick Henry. That was their game plan. We are not letting Derrick Henry. And they hit him and hit him and hit him, but they kept creeping up, and then Tannehill went
Green
right
Bay might could have won the game, and I mean this seriously, if Aaron Rodgers had played more like Aaron Rodgers and less like Blake Bortles. What has happened to the guy?
I mean, I don't know. But
Trevor Lawrence had that game last night, we'd have spent all Monday talking about how Trevor Lawrence isn't developing. You know,
he still had a 95 rating.
I know.
Two touchdowns, no picks.
Miss open guys is what was so alarming.
He did.
Like, the first touchdown to
they
Watson.
They killed Tannehill, though.
Underrated.
They were raving about Tannehill as he stepped back and threw a pick. His only bad pass of the night. I'm telling you, Ryan Tannehill, and he was. He looked terrific last night. Because Derek, you know, they just kept feeding him, but he only had three yards a pop. So it wasn't, you know, he never broke that one that got him up to 130 or 140, but. The Packers, Tennessee is just a tough team, isn't it? I mean, who are they're just tough.
They run our division.
They do. We they're the bully, man. Somebody's got to knock out the bully. We got to punch him right in the face, man. One time.
And the crazy thing is, it's safe to say we're second in the division. We ain't got a chance against them.
No, we're third actually. We're behind.
We're better than the other two, man.
Yeah, I know, but we're behind in
it. Yeah, I agree with E though. But you're right. You're right on both accounts. I think we're second.
We should
be
a five. We really should be a 5-5.
We should, but
we're
not.
I know.
We're not. And so, but like I said, let me tell you something. Kansas City, Buffalo, look up. Oh, Tennessee's coming this Sunday in January. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not one you want.
The Titans did lose to both those teams already this year, but especially the Buffalo game there. It's just nowhere near. I mean, think about what each of those teams looked like when Buffalo beat them 41-7 on Monday Night Football in Week 2. Buffalo beat Tennessee 41-7.
Yeah.
They couldn't get out of their own way.
Last year, if I'm not mistaken, didn't
Tennessee
Buffalo
beat
go
Buffalo
for the 2 points?
They did and lost.
And lost the game, and we were saying how dumb that was.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know, the. Well, we're going for the win here.
Buffalo is like the wild card because they looked like they were a real.
By the way, last night also that rookie receiver they got.
Yeah, Treylon Burks.
100-yard game.
Yeah.
7 catches, 111.
And the other rookie is turning into a monster for Rodgers, Watson.
Well, he's got 5 tutties the last 2 games. He had 4 for 48 last night.
4 for 48 and 2 scores I'll take right now from anyone on the Jags who wants to give it to me next week.
You got more than that from Christian Kirk last week?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Settle down. Sammy Watkins had no catches. He was open one time.
That's too bad. Yeah, missed him by about 4 yards, didn't he? Missed him by that much.
All right, so what do we got today? We got Friday 5-pack. Chip it away.
The 5-pack is getting a little bit better. I mean, no one is underwater anymore, and so, you know, we're not exactly building mansions, but at least we're not going to the poorhouse either.
All right, so we got that going.
We got Denny.
Denny's rolling in.
Denny, it's almost now. It's just like a weekly, you know, status check on Anthony Richardson. Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
I want to know how much he knows about, almost called him Luke May again, Drake May.
Yeah. Drake May is best quarterback in the country.
Well, statistically, he has been. His North Carolina team and he don't get a lot of notoriety.
No play.
Yeah, I mean, if this were happening almost at any other ACC school, I feel like I'd be hearing more of it. It's strange, kind of.
Very odd. Very odd. So we're just warming up. A lot of good stuff.
And I have a thought. No, when we come back, we'll 10-minute drill. When we come back on the other side, we'll hit some other some more of the headlines from the sports world. That includes the MVP voting yesterday. And there's one thing that jumped out at me that I don't think you would guess if I gave you 10 guesses. If I said, Dan, what jumped out at me yesterday about the MVP voting? And you could guess 10 things. And they would all be things that should jump out. But I don't think it's what jumped out at me. So I'll get your thought on that when we come back.
I like it.
So GFL Friday, you're listening to The Drill.
Hit it.
Hey! Ho! Sports concepts and rationalizations, the 10-minute drill. At the end of the drill, we have a prize pack to give away. Is it Duddy Love again?
Roman Duddy, man.
Yeah, man.
We got a pair of tickets to see Roman Duddy at Ponte Vedra Concert Hall on December 1st.
No Alison Krauss with Roman Duddy, though.
No.
But
I
Roman
got
Duddy
such
will be
a talking to about the Alison Krauss
alive.
Yesterday.
Really?
Alive.
Oh, man, she's just huge. Everyone loves and knows Alison Krauss
right?
but us.
Everybody but
and
us.
She's got, which is kind of indicative by those 22 Grammys.
I mean, gotta miss that.
Yeah, she's big in the she's big in the collaborations. She's done a lot of those. She's done a lot of, like, I can't even remember now who we did it with.
Well, her and Elton John did Philadelphia Freedom.
Yeah, Robert Plant. She got some.
That's coming up with
Robert
Plant. No, she's got one coming with Plant, but she's done one with, like, Kenny Chesney, maybe? I don't know. Paisley? One of those guys. Chesney
Whiskey
and Paisley
Lullaby.
Are the same guy to me.
Sorry, yeah. Allison.
Dan Hicken, you know how much I love golf, right?
Yes, you do love
and
golf.
And I'm not, listen, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not all about pumping up my golf game, letting anybody think I'm right. I just love to play.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You're a fun guy to play with. You don't care how people play. You just go out. We just play. No big deal.
I'm a decent golfer.
Fun,
I'm humbled by golf more than I'm, elated in myself. But yesterday I reached a very, very rare point for me in my golf game.
Double eagle.
I was nearly, I nearly reached a point of embarrassment with how I was playing.
Not you.
Right. Right.
Really?
Just, yeah.
You shanking them?
Not play. I just didn't, hit nothing, man. I mean, nothing. I did have one shank, actually, which just are incredibly rare. But playing with good dudes, playing with great guys. They were awesome. Friends of the program, listen to the show all the time.
Guggins.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. The company was great. And I said I almost reached. I refuse to be embarrassed by my golf game. It is what it is. I'm not trying to win a tournament here. I mean, if I, I honestly don't care. Well, maybe I do if I said I almost reached embarrassment. I don't care what the other people with me think. I'm just curious and pondering, why can't I hit a golf ball all of a sudden? But I, I'll tell you how bad it was.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at this.
Okay.
I had to make a birdie and go even on my last six holes to shoot 88.
So you're up in the 90s.
Would have been in the 90s, which I don't know the last time I was in the 90s. That's how bad it was. Thankfully, I pieced it together. I ran into Murph, though, so that was maybe that helped. We stopped by Murphy's house. He's out there in the laboratory, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't go do the rings. I was just coming off a birdie. In fact, I wanted,
didn't want to stretch anything.
Correct.
Hurt anything.
I wanted to. He is a nut, though.
Yeah.
I took the guys over there to Murph was out. Uh-huh. I hollered at him. I walked over. The other guys came over. I took him over just to kind of meet Murph. You know,
this is Murph.
This is Murph. He's a, he's a baseball, icon. And, glad to meet you guys. Hope you're having a good day. No, Murph, really. Okay, gravity. This is gravity. Don't use your thumb. I mean, he put him in the lab, Hick.
He put him in the lab.
He started talking about Christy Mathewson and I mean, he is knee-deep right now in his lab work. He is like Dr. Frankenstein.
Brown. No, he's Doc Brown. Little Doc Brown, little Cosmo Kramer.
So, yeah,
I
brought the three. The three dudes went over there with me, and it just – and like, a couple of them knew him already, at least casually. But, man, it was no particulars. Just me. Hey, you guys want to come into my laboratory? He's throwing all kinds of stuff.
Murph is the greatest.
He is the best.
There's nobody better than the Murph, man.
So anyway, that was my day yesterday.
Yeah.
Near embarrassment with my golf game, which very, very rarely happens. I get frustrated and disgusted by it, but not like,
Okay.
Pick yourself up, Chief.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to.
I've been told actually 86 is what it got me, not 88. Whatever. Oh. It felt like 108.
Jalen and LeBron had a little.
Did they?
Fun.
You know what I sense out of that?
Mm-hmm.
Jalen's butt hurt that he went out to L.A. and he's a nobody. I really think that Jalen went to L.A. thinking he was going to be in this triumvirate with you know, Clayton Kershaw and LeBron James, and he's not. He's just lost in the – he's the small fish, big pond. And I really think that that is the gist of some of this. Jalen is the most megalomaniacal person, athlete I've ever met. Now, I haven't met them all. I haven't dealt with some of the super selfish, me-first guys.
They say LeBron, over his two high school seasons, had 103 catches, 2,000 yards, and 23 touchdowns.
Why do you touch that if you're Jalen, by the way? What is that to you? Why would you go stepping on the icon?
They were on a show together. And
yeah, they were doing like
LeBron kind of started it, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He said, I'd moss you.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then Jalen said, you'd have no chance.
That's a little different.
Yeah. And Jalen got invited on the show, which was big.
Well, that is big for him then.
He's probably happy.
I've completely botched this. It sounds like he is reaching the pinnacle, the heights that he wants to be included with the real true icons of sports.
I'm just watching.
I mean, honestly, you could go right now. I mean, you could say just to ask somebody in a bar in Chicago, who's LeBron James, who's Jalen Ramsey? And one, you're gonna get a, what are you kidding me? And the other gonna be like,
But to say LeBron ain't got no chance, nah.
He's 30.
LeBron definitely has
no, in LeBron's heyday.
For sure.
How old is LeBron? 35?
38.
38?
He'll be 38 in December.
Okay, yeah, no, it's way too late.
He's 37.
That.
Yeah.
Way too late.
But he's a hell of an athlete. I mean, now he could get out there on the field. It'd be fun to watch him and Jalen go at it.
There was a narrative.
That's a big man you got. Yeah.
He'd be a great tight end. 100%.
And he can, oh, by the way, he could jump.
Yeah. No, he would have been a great tight end.
He could jump higher than you, Jalen.
I think he chose the right sport, but he could have played NFL tight end. I believe that.
I mean.
I do. I believe that.
One, not many you would say, but that guy could have definitely. Mm-hmm. But he played the right sport. You picked the right one.
At one point, maybe it was an NBA lockout or strike. There was like some rumors around him and the Cowboys. Remember that?
There was. But
did he go catch balls even or
there
something?
There was also there was one clip of him. I've seen some high school
football
clip.
Tournament.
Yes.
Yeah, with him and KD.
And he was so fast.
Oh my gosh, he could probably play receiver.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he would be my big nightmare,
Harold Carmichael, but with speed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
was just bomb after 6'8". Bomb after bomb.
Yeah, you forget that.
6'2".
You forget that about the NBA. They're all bigger than you think. That's if you go to an NBA game, the first thing you go is, wow, these dudes are big.
These dudes are tall.
Yeah, they're tall.
He is a big, and he is thick.
Yeah.
Man, good luck. And he can jump through the sky. I mean, I'm
that's not a real brave
take. He would moss him
at some point. That's kind of Captain Obvious, though. I mean, I'm 30. Here's what I would have said. Jalen, if I were your age, I'd beat you in any sport you want to play, friend.
Yeah.
Right?
You want to hoop?
Yeah, I'm 38. I'm 38 years old.
So who?
Well, that's a little bit different than just like popping off because it had been talked about. That's different.
Who has been the NBA guys? Who's been the best rookie so far?
The best?
The first overall pick? Paolo?
Yeah, he's hurt.
Oh. Yeah. He missed the past four games, but man, he is a stud.
The kid at Detroit's good too, though, right? Ivy?
I'm not sure how great he's played. I would go A.J. Griffin of the Hawks. No.
19 points, 5 assists a game for Ivy.
Yeah. When I saw the Pistons against the Hawks earlier in the year, they really hadn't done much.
You know who quietly is playing well in the NBA? You ready for this one?
Who?
Well, there's two guys I'm going to give you. One you both will know. How about Andrew Nembhard? Made a start for the Pacers last week. 15 points, 5 assists. Carlisle said Nembhard did what he does, play an old school game with a lot of moxie, and he's unafraid.
Jabari Smith has played well
for
Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, he has.
Was it Jabari Smith versus Paolo, and that was it? Or was there a third guy?
There was a third
when
guy.
When we were talking about the debating who would
there
go
was
number
three guys.
One.
The guy who got hurt from OKC. Big tall guy. What was his name?
Yeah. Yeah. Gonzalo.
Oh, yeah. Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
Holmgren.
Boncaro, though, to East Point, 27, 9, and 5 is at Detroit on October 19th. It's a pretty good game.
How many games has he played?
He's been out for the last few.
Mm. Yeah, he missed this the last
Benedict,
four.
Mathurin, I think is how they say
good.
It.
He's the
been,
Arizona kid?
Yeah, he plays for Indiana,
But I
too.
Want you right now, and I bring this guy up right now, and I saw he had a game the other night, and I forgot to mention it, and I apologize. And I do this with my friend, my old buddy, Beef, but our guy Bol Bol had a game last couple days ago.
Did he?
That I want you to represent.
Yeah.
and say that Bol Bol, I bought Beef a t-shirt, a Bol Bol t-shirt. Because we, Bol Bol, and yes, that's Manute's boy.
Yeah, he's a terrible player.
He's not a terrible player.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
I won't allow it. He's not terrible.
Allow it or not, he's
awful. He had a game recently where he went for like 20-some-odd points,
Keegan
26
Murray.
Points, 12 rebounds.
Keegan Murray of Sacramento, another good
three
rookie.
Blocks, E.
Against the Timberwolves.
Yeah, is that good?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, right? Bol Bol is averaging 12.6 points a game right now and 8 rebounds. Is that okay?
That's pretty good.
That's NBA-ish.
Well, I would hope so. He's in the NBA.
Well, you poo-pooed
Bol Bol will step awkwardly.
I won't allow this.
I will not allow Carl this. Anthony Towns' foot.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And his leg will snap in four places.
I will
places.
Not allow you disparaging Bol Bol.
This is Bol Bol's leg right here, Hick.
Take a look.
Uh-huh.
He's running down the court.
You're going to break it. You will not disparage NBA greatness.
Yeah. All right. That's Bol Bol's leg coming
Bol
soon.
Freaking Bol.
All right, I asked you, I gave you a little quiz since you know me so well to peek inside my brain and tell me what jumped out at me from the Major League Baseball MVP votings yesterday. There was something that jumped out at me that I found to be more noteworthy.
Well, I didn't see, but I would say it's something to do with the Braves weren't Braves players
that's
weren't
a great
were ignored.
Yeah, no, that's not it.
Or not in the top seven.
No, that most years that would apply because and it would be accurate. No, I didn't. You know, no. Austin Riley. If Austin Riley hadn't folded like a tent in the playoffs, maybe I would have been a little more
still, rambunctious. Down on him.
Yeah, I'm a little down on him. He ended poorly. Now, what I noticed, Dan, is. What's the first concern we have, like in free agency, if a player comes available, you know, in any sport, if they've been around for a few years? What's the first thing you worry about? His age, right?
Yeah.
Like Freddie Freeman, if you're the Braves, I mean, he's 32 or whatever he was. Can you? Uh-huh. I tell you what I noticed. Goldschmidt's been playing good baseball for a long time, right? He's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. I guess we'd have to
National
say.
National League MVP, by the way.
Well, wouldn't we say then, you know, as long as he's playing as good as he's been, this was the best year he's ever had.
Yes.
35 years old.
Wow.
Point being, if your team goes and signs a 32-year-old free agent, maybe you shouldn't immediately think, well, oh, gosh, we'll maybe get a year or two out of him.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who's been around for a long time. He's had a bunch of good years, and yet through them all, at the age of 35, he's had his best. I think I'd like him as a 36-year-old next year just fine.
Wow.
But I wonder, we kind of got to reinvent.
He tailed off at the end, didn't he?
Yeah, big time.
He had such a, a terrible September.
I really think Manny Machado was the MVP. That's who I would have given it to. I disagree with probably the baseball votes more than any of them.
See, we've had this discussion. The big discussion we had all year was Shohei versus Judge, yeah. And I'm totally fine with Judge winning it. I just think you can't quantify Shohei Ohtani, who's the best player in the history of the game.
I get what you're saying. We've had this conversation before, but I would do this. Whatever game Shohei as a batter is a good player, is no Judge. And whatever games he would have pitched, whoever's pitching for the Yankees, I don't think that win-loss difference is going to be much different than if Shohei pitches that day. So that's the only. But
really, really
if not,
pitcher.
Because if look, there's a Russell Westbrook effect there for me.
Yeah.
You know, and we gave Russ the MVP and we made him all this because he was, his versatility had not been seen before.
I mean, 34 and 95 he hit this year.
Yeah.
666.
If there weren't an Aaron Judge, he may win 4 or 5 in a row. Because he'll win it next year. Who's
and then he went
win
and pitched
it?
And he won 15 games. How many people won that many games this year?
I bet not a ton. I mean, Kyle Wright led the league and he only had like 22.
15 wins.
But
2.33 ERA, Jeff.
No, I get it. It's he's very, very good. I think if he was on a winning team even, maybe we could have had an argument. But so much attention on Judge all year. And to do it under the
specter
of free agency.
If he just played on the East Coast. Or the Dodgers, would he be more talked about?
I have reached the point that I think that just by saying would he be more talked about, we talk about him an awful lot. I think he's
you do.
I think that I don't think he barely knows baseball. Shohei's this guy. I think Shohei Ohtani's very well known. I don't think there's any baseball fan that's not aware of what he is and what he's doing.
He's 27. I want him in New York now.
I bet you do.
Gosh,
by the way, apparently you won't judge, too. Nice job cheating already out of the gates.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying, Jeff.
And what I'm talking about is both the Mets and Yankees have immediately started trying to cheat and get
Aaron
Judge.
Settle down over there, Mr. South, whose GM got fired.
That's years ago. Well worth it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
That's right. Well worth it. Exactly.
We nailed that. Remember that Kevin Maiton was supposed to be the next big thing? Where's he at? What bus is he driving in Ecuador?
Man, that ain't right. Cheaters to get Acuna and Ozzy and sign them to these. This is millions, kid. Yeah, dinero. Yes, yes. Mucho dinero. Yeah.
What if Mike Soroka? You think Mike Soroka would have been glad to get that deal? May never pitch again. He's not going to make any money. Hey, the Braves did just fine by those guys. That's a 10-minute drill. Tell them what they won, Danny.
Well, Duddy,
what does Armin want? What are we doing here? We're taking calls in the 10-minute drill? Who is this kid?
Who's Armin?
So you know you, Jeff.
Is he the hammer?
Okay. Was that good or bad? I don't know about your tone there. Okay. All right. Let's see what's happening here.
Put him on. By the way, we'll take caller number 3 right now, as long as you're kind and courteous.
Give it to Armin. The hell with it.
And we'll talk
to Armin. Right. Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning. Good morning, man. Jeff, I played poker with you a couple times, man. They call me the tattooed painter, man.
Okay.
But anyway, you were going kind of hard on Bobo, man. I just felt like I had to call in and educate you.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm a diehard Magic, Gator, Jaguar.
All right.
Okay. But Bobo has been outplaying Mo Bamba big time, big time. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bobo has actually beefed up really well.
Mm-hmm.
You say about his legs breaking. If you really look at the young man, he's built super solid. He has been really unstoppable with his play to the point to where the Magic, man, have positioned themselves. All we need is our guard. Okay. We need Fultz back, but trust me, I know y'all ain't big basketball people, but Bobo, man, I'm telling you, bro, Bobo is the truth.
Thank you.
Armin. Armin, when you're
the tattooed pirate speaks.
When you're at the Magic game and you're sitting in section 204.
Listen to him, Armin.
Do you think you'll see the leg break or hear it break
first?
Don't
listen to him, Armin. You listen to him.
This is the drill.
Breaking news. This is going to go over well. Qatari officials said no alcohol sales around the World Cup stadiums.
Right.
FIFA says, hello, Sheikh. We got a $75 million sponsorship with Budweiser.
Yeah.
And the tournament starts in 48 hours.
I don't get it, dude. It goes deeper. I've got this.
We got problems over there, man.
I've got this from our Every Friday. I miss Matt Every. Where is he? Where are you at, Maddie?
Hey, Maddie.
It's been a day.
See us, Matt.
We're going to have to throw us one gratis, but we miss you. No, but he sent me this thing. Apparently, I don't know if this is a thing. I don't know if this is Twitter. I don't know what it is. Some social media, but it comes. It was posted by someone over there. Exclusive: Qatar bribed 8 Ecuadorian players $7.5 million to lose the opener.
I'm in.
5 Qatari and Ecuadorian insiders confirmed this. We hope it's false. We hope sharing this will affect the outcome.
Wow.
The world should oppose FIFA corruption. In the opener, that means first half.
Oh. The world should oppose. FIFA is a disgusting pig slop.
Every one of those people should be run out. FIFA has a lot of nerve telling Qatar anything. You took their money. Yeah. It's their game now.
You're ruining you have ruined this World Cup, FIFA, for your own selfish gains.
100%.
And shame on y'all.
And by the way, it looks like, again, I don't know exactly who these living quarters are designated for. There's mixed, there's mixed reports.
Oh, I saw the rooms.
But there's mixed reports if it's for players or fans or others. But some of it is unacceptable. You're like in a sheik's caravan out in the middle of the desert with some of these lean-to tents and rolling sand dunes. What do you take a camel to the game, Ick?
I don't know.
This is just and by the way, this isn't dawning on us. Knowing nothing about soccer when this was announced 10 years ago, we said this is dumb.
Oh, yeah.
And we knew right away, we see what's going on here. So the World Cup gets started very shortly. The U.S. will play Monday against Wales and then a big one on the Friday after Thanksgiving. They'll take on England.
Yeah.
All right, so remind me the Florida State basketball series. Did the Noles not win like 6, 7, 8 in a row versus Florida, and then the Gators finally won last year?
Oh, Gators have won like three in a row.
They have now in the basketball series.
Oh, basketball.
Yeah, basketball.
I thought you were talking football.
No, no, no. I'm talking basketball.
Why?
Because they play tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I asked because
they
played.
They snapped it last year. But it was Mike White was 1-6.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Florida State has lost to Stetson, UCF, and Troy to start the year.
Yeah, not good.
They have their first 0-3 start since 2001.
Right.
How does it go from?
It was 7 in a row for FSU.
Yeah, that's what I thought. 7 in a row, and then Florida won last year.
Mm-hmm. Florida had won 5 previous. And then, obviously, Florida did pretty good during the day.
Now, the Gators don't exactly come in red hot, but, I mean, the this is one, if you're Florida, if this rivalry really means anything, and compared to the I don't think the Florida-Florida State basketball rivalry, you know, means a whole lot more to the fan bases than the baseball games.
No.
Which is strange because the basketball teams have experienced really high heights.
Florida-Florida State basketball kind of works like this.
If you win, yay.
Nobody pays attention. Yeah. Somebody sees it, mm-hmm. and then you call your FSU friend and say, hey.
By the way.
Or you call your Florida friend and say, hey.
Gotcha.
That's how it works.
By the way, it is on the ACC network tonight.
Oh, no.
Now, the Gators, listen, I'm not, trust me, I'm not making fun of FSU for who they've lost to.
Yeah.
Florida just lost at home to FAU. That's unacceptable for the Golden Child. So we'll see if he can get his playing. It's early. You know, I don't like this excuse that people use, though. It's early.
Mm-hmm.
You've had 4 or 5 months to practice and see these guys. You should have an idea of your rotations and your talent.
There was a time in Florida basketball. I've tried to explain this to you youngins who you don't understand the history of this of the team and the sport. But there was a time where Florida would never lose to a team like that at home. Ever.
Right.
You don't do that.
Very rarely. Although basketball.
Tell me one that Billy lost one of those.
I think he lost maybe UNF.
Did he?
I think they lose them. I think they do. Mm-hmm. That happens in basketball more than any other sport. Maybe not always at home.
We know Mike White lost to Texas Southern last year. We all remember that one.
And he's had others. He had one to the year before that against a team that they ended up playing in the postseason. Who was it?
That I don't know, friend. That I don't know. But it doesn't happen much.
No, here are the 5 worst losses. They lost to JU. Not UNF, JU.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to UCF in 2010, but that's not that level.
Okay.
South Alabama in the O'Connell Center, 09, in the middle of a good, that would be one.
Mm-hmm.
South Al, that's along mm-hmm. those lines.
South Al.
But the number one worst loss at this little list that I pulled up, mm-hmm. JU beat them in December of 2010.
Yeah.
It was another one of those Christmas break games. Florida's only lost to A-Sun Jacksonville in 14 meetings under Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're sloppy. You got Big Shot Irv missed a three-pointer in the closing seconds. Finished off another solid 3-for-11 that day. Well, anyway, if you're looking for reasons why FSU is struggling, they haven't had the personnel.
Yeah, their guys are injured and such, aren't they?
I think so. They don't have
Baba for a while.
Right, and FSU has beaten you. What's ironic about this
mm-hmm.
is that the last few years, FSU's biggest strength to a fault has been their depth.
Right.
Right.
Oh yeah, 12 guys.
Yeah, we've used it as a detriment to Leonard Hamilton. Yeah. Look, that's great, but when you get to the tournament, you've got a bunch of guys going in the lottery. Those 8 need to play.
Got to play.
And so now, ironically, you're at a spot where they are not winning because they don't have the depth to overcome the amount of issues that they run into. So
mm-hmm.
It will be 8 o'clock tonight, Florida-Florida State basketball.
Do we have any hidden games this weekend?
We had one a couple of nights ago. It was the last one. But let me see. Let me check it out.
Yeah.
We probably do.
I mean, I always
look. I did kind of scan through it before, and mm-hmm. I didn't see anything Well, let me see here. Yeah, those hidden games are fun.
I mean, just, you know.
No, we had, I think, the Texas-Gonzaga a couple nights ago would qualify as the most recent. Let me go here. Let me see. I bet we do. We probably got some of those holiday tournaments. Let me see. Today.
I saw a tournament.
What about Virginia-Baylor? Does that qualify? No, Virginia's not ranked. Baylor's number 5, but Virginia's 16. That's a decent game.
That's a decent game.
Yeah, interconference game. I'd say.
That's not a you know.
But each of those teams has won natties in the last two or three years.
Sure they have.
All right, let's go to Saturday. I got nothing. They took a pass.
Okay.
And Sunday, as far as Kentucky-Gonzaga, Sunday, 7:30. There you go. Everyone will be watching Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
None of us will be paying a lick of attention. And at 7:30, number 4, Kentucky, and number 2, Gonzaga will tip off. Also, Houston and Oregon, a decent game, but hey, Kentucky-Gonzaga.
All right, we'll turn our attention to the NFL, college ball. It's all coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Friday 5-pack, Whisper, et cetera, all things happening right here on The Drill.
I have a question right off the bat for the quarterback Whisper this morning.
I like
morning. Jump right in.
Hot like that.
Coming in
as
hot.
As long as one of the two isn't awful, if you got somebody coming in and you're working with, what's more the more important attribute? Is arm strength or is accuracy?
What level?
College.
Going into college?
Accuracy. Yeah. Accuracy.
Why? What is keeping Anthony Richardson from being an accurate quarterback?
Yeah, that's completely fair question. Yeah.
Because that's by far his biggest detriment, no?
Yeah, no, it is. It is because he makes all the throws, and the frustrating thing with him is there's not a throw that he continually misses. It's like out of right field, right? It's like he'll hit two or three in a row, and then all of a sudden there's a little out that he dirts, right, or something like that. I think he just rushes. I think he gets into a rush at times, and it's not – a rush from the sense of trying to get rid of the ball. It's like he's got such a fast stroke that if he tries to speed that up at all, his sequencing gets a little bit messed up. And I'm not trying to get super technical, but that's at the end of the day, that's what it is. He just doesn't trust in how smooth his stroke is.
Is accuracy natural and incredibly hard to teach, or is it very teachable? It might just take some time.
That's very teachable. It's whether it's right or wrong, it's doing the same thing over and over again. It's having the same release point, the same timing, the same sequencing, all that kind of stuff. And as you play more ball, you get more reps with different types of throws.
Would it – and I know that the NFL drafts on ceiling and, you know, a prospect's range. If he finishes this year and completes 54% of his passes, is it – is that a red flag, or should it be a red flag for the – does he need to continue to work against upper-level athletes and let his accuracy come about more naturally rather than try and become accurate against the best in the world?
It would be for me. It would be a red flag for me.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be a red flag for him because of the skill set and the ability he's shown with his arm. But I know exactly where you're going. Like, I would rather see him leave college – 65% after another year.
That's really
low. And eliminate that red flag. But, you know,
we pick apart that guy on draft day. If some team drafts, you know, Marcus, you know, Johnson from Tulane, and he's a 48% passer, it's the first thing. Well, what are they doing? This guy's a 48% passer.
Well, here's what's going to happen with Anthony, though. And we had this conversation yesterday about Jordan Travis with Hayes Carlin. Those are guys that once they get to the process are going to explode because they're going to kill the combine. Mm-hmm. When they throw on air, it's a thing of beauty, right? All that kind of stuff. And they're going to interview really well. So there's two different buckets of guys. I guess three. There's the guys like Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud who are who they are. And it doesn't matter what they do. And then there's the guys like Anthony who, whatever you think of them, is only going to be enhanced through the process. And then there's a bunch of guys who you think highly of, but then when you meet and you see them throw in person, they go down. So I don't think that becomes a draft day conversation just because I think he blows everybody
away
January 3rd.
What about success of the league? Never mind how it's drafted.
That's where I was going. Yeah, absolutely. That's the bigger thing of, okay, we got to find – this is the first time that we've had any film on Anthony going into an offseason. Mm-hmm. So it's like we got to find out what's going on. We got to find out why are you missing the easy ones consistently each week. And, yeah, I'd much rather work on that in college than the NFL, but that's not my decision.
No, I hear you. And this isn't even about whether he stays or not. It's more just about him as a prospect.
Yeah.
You said something that was interesting to me, and I agree. You said he has such a fast stroke, and I've never really thought of it, but he does. Like, sometimes, in like those slants that he just – I mean, he doesn't need to have a fast stroke.
No,
he doesn't. You know, because his arm is so talented. And you're right. He hurries it up, and that probably causes some of it.
He's
to happen.
So, and I'm going to say the obvious, so twitchy. I mean, we all see that way he runs and all. But that's throughout his entire body.
Yeah.
And there's a sequence to throwing a football. Mm-hmm. And if your hips don't go first, it's hard to be accurate. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, think golf when you come over the top of one. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's essentially what happens with him.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that what swayed colleges and such on Mac Jones, if I remember, is when he went to all these workouts and combines going into college, was his incredible accuracy. Mm-hmm. Like, he would hit, like, if they put, like, Denny sometimes will put a net or whatever, you just throw the ball in the net, and, like, he wouldn't miss.
No.
Or he'd hit a little square. No. Or that's what he was so good at that made people say, because he didn't have the greatest arm talent, right?
It wasn't the strongest.
Yeah.
No. No, yeah. But Mac had a swagger about him, and like you said, I can still visualize some of those throws in those old Bowles Reigns games.
Yeah.
Clear across the field, ball leaving before anybody comes out of his break. It was interesting during COVID, we had a group in the facility, that same seven or eight guys every day. And there was about a 2 or 3 week stretch where Josh Dobbs said to us, and this was Mac going to his senior year at Alabama. Like, y'all, Mac hasn't missed in 3 weeks. And we all just kind of looked at each other like, holy cow, you're right. Like, he literally hasn't missed in 3 weeks.
Wow. Wow. And he proved it. You know, I was watching some of the game last night. I don't want to talk about Rodgers, but I want to ask you about, like, Tannehill was incredible last night, I thought. I mean, that's a guy who kind of goes up and down. And it's interesting, though, because that guy also, if we remember correctly, was a wide receiver in college and switched over to quarterback. And he is far exceeded, I think, for – now, obviously, the Dolphins had big thoughts on. They drafted him high. But the way he played last night, I mean, there were a couple throws, man, that were – I mean, you talk about tight windows, and he put it on those guys. That was impressive.
He's the perfect example of a guy that fell into the perfect situation.
Yeah.
And he's played well. I'm not taking credit away from him.
He doesn't have to be the superstar quarterback.
Well, they tailor what he does well. I mean, you know, talking about Anthony, Anthony leads the country in play action.
Yes.
So you in play action efficiency. So you look at what Florida's done the last couple of weeks. They've done a ton of play action, even on two-minute drill. They're still play actioning. Because that's what sets him in rhythm, and I think the Titans have done an amazing job of playing to Tannehill's strength ever since they've gotten him. And by the way, Dan, credit him, too, because all he's done is just continue to get better and better and better and better, and you never hear about the Titans possibly looking for a quarterback right now.
Well, he had the blip last year at the end of the season in the playoffs where he threw the three picks, and then they went and drafted Malik in the third round, and that makes you go, oh, wait.
But I think you can tell just by
watching –
Even by them drafting Malik, they were them saying, okay, we're not ready.
Yeah.
You're still our guy for a year or two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's done well, man. He's had a heck of a career.
Yes. He's been a good football player. What's wrong with Aaron Rodgers, by the way? Is he getting old?
No, I don't.
Hallucinogenics?
Is it the Huasca?
Maybe the Huasca backfired. I mean, Sunday he made some throws that were unbelievable.
Well, that's true.
Sunday was unreal.
He didn't last night.
No, I don't know what's going on. I mean – We use the excuse for Trevor. Can we use it for him, too, of receivers? Can we use – you know what I mean? Can we use that for somebody that's
I don't
been
know, man.
Long?
Those receivers are coming along a little bit. They were
they
open
are.
Last night. The reason last night jumps out, it was, you know, missing open guys.
Yeah, but I always wonder if, like, Aaron Rodgers – like, Lazard is the perfect example. He would have never succeeded down here like he
that
has.
That Watson's coming along.
Yeah, well, he has got that. He's got talent, though. Yeah. He's 6'4 and fast as heck.
I
he's drafted high. Lazard's just a – A
Man,
guy.
I'm looking at a cat in the I'm looking at a cat in the college level.
Thank you for asking.
Well, I want to make sure we didn't have more NFL
Are we
stuff.
Done here?
Well, I want to go back to college. I can't see a way around this guy in 2 years, in 2020, what's this, four, being like, you know, this is going to be the number one pick. We'll know it before the season starts. And then at the end of the year, he'll go number one. What skill or attribute the 6'4", 220-pound freshman Drake May lack at North Carolina? I mean, the kid is a freshman. He's completing 70% of his passes. He has 34 touchdowns, three picks. Actually, I guess he could go after next year because he redshirted a year.
Yeah, he can.
He redshirted?
Yeah.
Oh, because they had Howell.
He went 7-10
He might have been better. He's better than Howell.
He's completing 70% of his passes, 34 touchdowns, three picks, but it's not just that. He's 6'4", 220.
He's unbelievable.
This is everything. Is this not
– Is he fast?
Does he run? He's athletic. I wouldn't call him fast.
Yeah.
He's a good athlete.
A willing runner?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Felipe. Yeah. The thing about him, though, that's crazy is they're not running this – he's not throwing to wide open guys all the time, like you see a lot of times with these guys putting up these numbers. His anticipation, man, is unbelievable. There's going to be a huge debate next year. Mm-hmm. That draft, I know we talked about this draft.
No, I saw the other day.
By the way, this draft is disappointing.
Yeah.
This draft isn't what we thought it was going to be. But
right.
Caleb Williams, Drake May.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Caleb Williams is one of the most arm talented guys I've seen in a long time. Will Levis is
anything that you worried about with him?
Why would you take him?
I wouldn't, but I'm just telling you.
Why would they take him?
Because he's another one that
size, arm strength,
the attributes and traits, man, people are going to look at him and go, we can win with
him. He lost to Vandy.
I'm not arguing with
you. I know, but I want you to tell me more how they think.
They can't get away from the 6'5", 230 arm strength. They just can't. The same reason Blaine Gabbert came here.
That's correct. Yeah. There's things you can't replace.
That was a long time ago. Bryce Young is – you don't have to take the 6'5 guy now. You can take the 5'11 guy.
Well, there,
you can, but the only one that's won is Russ.
The 5'11 guy is going to get taken before the 6'5 guy. He won't be available.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to have a team that needs a quarterback, and they're going to look at this, and they're going to go, it's the same with Anthony. They're going to go 6'5", 240, in Anthony's case, 4'3", something. And
that's different. Will, that's an extra. Will don't have that.
Will is athletic, man. And they're going to look at that, and they're going to say, we can't get that in next year's draft.
But he ain't a runner like.
No, absolutely not.
All right.
No. But it wouldn't shock me, though, if he has a great NFL career.
I watched I want to ask you this because this is it interested me. But I watched Hard Knocks Inside the Season.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty good. Is it good? Anyway, I mean, I just like that show.
I do too.
It was Arizona. They're doing Arizona. And Murray was hurt. And Colt McCoy, who shockingly I found out I think is 36 years old now. Is that possible, by the way?
That seems right.
Damn. 36 for Colt McCoy, Pross? Is that right?
It seems every bit of it to me.
Yeah, seems right. Yeah.
Well, How long has he been around?
What was that, 2000?
12 years?
Well, 2010 was the, he played that title game against Alabama.
Yeah,
Watching. Yeah. So you know, when they go into the game, the game plan, and the thing he was working on all week that they were harping on him was just get rid of the ball quick. Get rid of the ball quick. Mm-hmm. Get rid of the ball quick. And, you know, make that decision and let it rip. And so he was hell-bent on doing that against the Rams. And he went out there, and he threw some beautiful balls. They had a 4th-and-2 or 3 that they went for, and he threw it down the sideline to Rondale Moore. It was like they were only up. I mean, it was the game-winning play, and it was a gutsy call by Kingsbury. It worked. But I was impressed with how well he played, and I guess my question is, why did Colt McCoy never make it
all the way? He doesn't have
– What doesn't he have?
The juice that – Yeah. Arm juice that, yeah. that you need at that level, which is why you get rid of it quick, too.
Yeah.
Right? It's like there's...
And it worked for him that day, and maybe he should have played his whole career this way, but maybe he has the talent now when you have A.J. Green and DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, there's that, and then I don't know how many games Colt McCoy ended up playing. I don't... Was it a couple?
For what? Just, right now?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he's playing this. It was just this one game.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. So it's the recent one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think... That is a long-term, sustainable success plan.
Okay.
Because what happens is, and I'm surprised, actually, L.A.
So he's,
do this.
He's Taylor Heineke.
Yeah.
You get that defense. He's no disrespect. Minshew.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. That kind of guy.
No, Minshew has to get rid of it quick for sure.
Yeah.
Eventually, what happens is people decide, okay, we're fine with giving up that 5-yard hitch because it's a pre-snap read and we'll rally up and make the tackle, which is why you see guys like Gardner – Have
right.
20 of 22 for 160 yards.
Right.
Right. Or they'll do the opposite.
That's a good point.
And they'll press you.
Yes.
They'll press those receivers if they've got good DBs, and they make you stretch that arm out.
And then I was watching also in that same game, Johnny Wolford.
Yeah.
Who's a great kid. Now, super, has had success along the way. And the fact that he's been in the NFL. But I wonder what perspective changes when you, okay, this is your game. You got to deliver as a backup. If you don't deliver, then we have to find another backup to deliver. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it was just – and maybe there were other reasons why he didn't have the best of games, but he did not have the best of games on Sunday.
Yeah, and I thought he would because he's such a good preparer.
Yes.
I mean, it's – and he will have a job as long as he wants to have a job for that reason, is he helps so much in the preparation. He's so dang smart.
Yeah.
He's just a great person having that quarterback room.
Right.
But, if you look at his past, he has had really – anytime he's gotten the chance, he's played really well.
Yeah.
So I was expecting kind of a
But he's another kind of Colt McCoy type, right? He doesn't have great arm talent, right?
Not elite, but pretty good.
Yeah, and he's not a great athlete. He's good. He can move. Yeah. He'll scoot a little bit, but
I hated to see it. Was it last year's playoffs or the year's?
I guess what I'm asking is, like, these smaller guys, McCoy, yeah, Wolford, if they're not supreme athletes.
Well, look at what Tua's doing.
Yeah.
We had that conversation how many times about his arm strength in the offseason.
Yeah.
And the guy's playing on time and on schedule right now.
Yeah.
And he looks dang near unstoppable.
He does. But he also can just throw it up there and they go get it.
But that's the thing.
It's not happening as much.
I get it.
Now, that's when it backfires. When you tell a quarterback, hey, we want to get rid of it fast.
Right.
And they go to read one and it's covered up, and they go to read two and it's covered up, and all of a sudden there's a panic. And then you just throw it up.
Yeah.
Right? That's the downside to that game plan.
Okay.
Like, you look at a guy like Josh Allen, mm-hmm, and Patrick Mahomes, they have that rare ability to play on schedule,
mm-hmm,
but then they're better if you cover number one.
Mm-hmm.
If number one's not open, then they may go for 75.
I marveled at how good Mahomes is. He's by himself.
Yes.
With all due respect to Josh Allen and the GOAT, right now, when I watched him play the Jags, and you know, you get to see Mahomes a lot, but it's like either the game is just slow for him or he's playing the JV.
Yeah.
But he's never rattled. He's seeing everything. Bullets are flying all around in the pocket. He doesn't care. Oh, he's not. No, Mike, maybe I can get here. I'll just scoot here for 15. He just is almost unstoppable. And when you add the leg element to it, he is unstoppable because you, as a defense, can, oh, my God, we covered so well on this. Mm-hmm. But, damn, he went off and ran for 20.
Well, and then he adds the thing of he can outthrow any coverage you put on him.
Any coverage.
And like, if you need him to throw at 80, he can throw at 80.
Yeah.
That combination is
– yeah, it's just so good.
The thing I appreciate about him and like Aaron Rodgers, guys like that, they haven't listened to traditional – I'm not even saying quarterback, just coaching in general. They have found a way that they play best.
They break the rules.
They do. They do. And it's like, you know, we talk about this all the time in the facility about we can teach you whatever we want to teach you, but at the end of the day, you got to be able to see the field and process the field.
Right.
So if your drop needs to be different than everybody else's for you to do that,
that's okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And those guys have taken that to an extreme. I mean, they're backpedaling. They're going old school backpedaling, right? They're throwing from different arm slots and angles, and it's just so fun to watch.
Yeah. So, you know how Marino was always thought to have the quickest release, mm-hmm, in the NFL? Back, mm-hmm, who's that today? Is that Mahomes today? Because he looks like he has a quick one, but is there anybody else who has gets rid of it like that?
I would love to see, and I'm sure this is easily accessible,
mm-hmm,
a comparison of release times now and back then.
Yeah.
Would love to see
that. Think it's better now?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think we've
I don't know if anybody can beat Marino.
Well, Marino was way ahead of his time.
Right.
Way ahead of the things that Marino was doing are being taught now, even especially later in his career.
Right.
Right.
Because he never got sacked. He could sidestep or just the release and get rid of it.
Well, and he had this release too. For years, everybody's been talking about if you have a loop in your release, it's, mm-hmm, bad. No, mm-hmm, it's not. It's efficient.
Right.
Right. And he had that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a little, like a little J hook, just bam, out.
Mm-hmm.
Most guys have that now, but I would say probably Mahomes, Rodgers, those guys have the quickest release, and then you get down like the slowest. Derek Carr, super quick release.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get guys that are still effective but slower releases like Kyler and guys like that. But the slow, slow release isn't like Byron Leftwich, right?
Yeah, that big drop down.
Even the slowest of release guys are still really efficient.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. Trevor had a really good game last week.
Excellent.
I think 2 weeks in a row he's had over 100 rating. He's done that twice this year now. There's signs that he is really starting to come along. Beautiful 33-yard throw, which I like to see. I still want to see him. I know he can rip the ball down the field. We watched that workout where he rolled out at Clemson, right? And he threw it 60 or 70. I want to see one of those. Why can't I see one of those?
That's a great question.
Can I see one of those a game?
That's a great question.
Just one? I want to see him sip, drop back, and let it rip, and it goes 60 yards in the – when was the last time we – Have we seen that this year?
Well, is that on him or is that the
receivers? No, I don't know. I don't know. I'm asking. It's
man, listen.
Because I know he can do it.
I am not the biggest receiver fan of the Jags, right. But through how many games they've played?
Ten. There's been guys going deep.
There's at some point where they could have snuck somebody. Like somewhere they right? could have snuck somebody upfield. Yeah.
And he does, by the way. Peterson has schemed up some great ball plays this year.
Somebody had to be open at some yes. point.
I got a kick out of the receivers coach yesterday. Or this week.
He was on the show.
He was asking about what does he want to see in the second half. I want to see some dog. Bro, we're week 11, middle of November. Your dude's personalities are their personalities. Yeah. Right? We're not gonna come out of the break. I mean, I appreciate what he's saying, but we're not gonna come out of the break all of a sudden and you know, we got a bunch of
what do y'all think?
Hungry dogs.
What's what it's yesterday with Carlin? Like, how do they have to end the year? What is the goal?
It doesn't matter
right
to
now?
Me so much because now look. They've always been a bad, bad team. Now they're a good, bad team. There's enough positive going on that the record doesn't matter as much to me.
I think it does. It matters to me because I'll tell you why. I think they need to get to 6 and have a marquee win because if you end up 4-13 and you say, well, we're a good, bad team, I don't give a damn because then you allow yourself next year to go win 8 and everybody's like, hey, we improved again. We went from 4-8. Then we're wasting another year. See, to me, next year, we need to be in the postseason, baby.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to – I want to – and listen, you can go from 4-10. You can do that, but it's harder. So I want to get to 6 so then next year I can get to 10.
I
guess that's how I'm thinking.
I said yesterday 6-7, which – and the reason why I said that is because if you get to that, you did beat a marquee team
yes.
or two. Right? And I do think it's important – and. Jeff's right, too, because they look so different than they did last year. We're already way more positive.
Sure.
But I think you've got to get to an offseason where you can say, okay, we were statistically one of the best teams against first downs. We were mm-hmm. whatever all mm-hmm. these numbers are, we're all mm-hmm. thrown around, right?
Right.
And it showed at the end.
Right.
I go back to San Diego, I think they were San Diego, the Chargers, back mm-hmm. when they first drafted Herbert.
Right.
It took them a while to get their first win. But okay. then at the end of the year, they got a little hot streak.
Yeah.
And the next year, the next year, they were the team being talked about.
Well, I will
about,
say right? this. I'll remind you that the Jaguars played their best game of the year last year in the finale at home, and Trevor was awesome. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, but with no coach and half of a
my
stadium
point
full
is,
of clown suits.
No. My point is I would rather have a team that I know is good and the ball hadn't broken their way, and by analytics and everything else, they're a decent team. So the win-loss, whether it happens in the I'm with everyone.
Down,
I'd rather go 5-2.
If it comes down to Trevor having great numbers –
And
them losing, or Trevor being pedestrian and them winning, I'll take Trevor having great numbers and them losing because I need that. I need more of that. I need to know that next year he's going to be ready to be the
I'd be honest with you guys. I really think this is a fluke that we're not 5-5. I don't think it's an indication that we can't close or need to win. Mm-hmm. I think it's a freaking fluke.
We're
in the NFL.
Agree.
All of our measurable stats, all of the things that are important that indicate whether or not you win or lose, we are – ahead of the league in most of them. So
yeah, but you can't go.
I can.
No, you can't.
You can't go. We've watched every game. They should be.
Okay.
That's not going to get. It's like baseball, dude. It's a hard hit ball. If you barrel the ball, it's not your fault if you hit 230. You barreled it. There's enough people barreling on this team. Now, somebody may not at the end of the game, and for whatever reason, whether it's Trevor or the defense, I think if you keep barreling it, next year the 230 hitter, it's 330
Let's say it this way. If Trevor completes the easy passes, they are.
That's fair.
It's literally that simple right now.
You could say if Trayvon Walker doesn't throw the quarterback to the ground or if Foyaluakon doesn't have a personal
if
foul.
If Shaq Griffin covers a guy all year on a fly
route.
That's
what I was trying to avoid. Yeah.
Right.
I was trying to avoid those. I'm taking the main guy that we think is going to be the long-term best player on this team.
That's fair.
And you say, okay, well, he's progressing.
Right.
Yeah. But
right.
if it had just hit the easy ones, they'd be 6-4.
Yeah. Damn it.
And that will change. And that will change because it's hard to conceptualize it this way. Trevor's got, 28 starts? He's 22 years or 23 years old?
23.
Yeah. We'll all have a lot better, indication and confidence or pessimism when he's 27 and he's made 120 starts like all the superstars have or most of them have.
Well, he better be great by then.
Well, if he's I'm not saying that's how long it will take.
I'm just
saying let's wait until,
Yeah.
At the end of next year, we'll know.
I think so. Do you not know now? Do Do you not know that Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback?
He's good, but I want him to be great.
Is there any part of you that thinks that Trevor Lawrence with the great guys around him can't win a Super Bowl?
There's no part of me that doesn't think that he's the franchise quarterback for the Giants.
Yeah, me either.
But right. there was a part of me that thought he would be the top three quarterback in the league.
Right.
That's what I'm not sure about right now.
And that's fair.
That's fair. Yeah. But there's also, you know, well, it's really Mahomes. I mean, we want to put other guys up there, and Allen will at times, and overall should probably still be there. But Herbert is not up there.
Burrow.
Yeah, Burrow's not up there.
Level. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, end of this football season already. Make sure you guys get to Tyson Sound and Security.
Yes.
Okay.
Multiple TVs, one room, one remote control. You're going to need that for championship games, bowl season, playoffs, all that kind of stuff. It's a game changer. Go to Tyson Sound and Security.
Need it next Friday with all that.
Thank you, Danny.
Yeah, it was fun.
At the Friday Five Pack next. We are incredibly ill-prepared. Let's bring in the cat. All right. So the Dash.
Mean?
Hold on.
What do you mean?
I'll tell you. The Dash, the Daily's Dash, has brought in the sandwich of the month. Which is tacos. My God, these things are good. I hope, to beyond hope, Mrs. P is not listening because my low carb is getting destroyed right now. I can't stop eating these things. They're that good. Mm-hmm. And so we spent the entire break where we should be preparing.
I'll go first.
For this terrific reincarnation of the Friday Five Pack. But I haven't done, I've done a little work in front of me and stuff. I've looked at games, but I did not prepare at all. Instead, I decided to just go full on feedback.
Yeah.
Hick, please eat a quesadilla. Please. I mean, we got pork quesadillas, beef quesadillas, chicken quesadillas, and we have tacos of all three, and they're all delicious. And thank you, Dailies. You're ruining my low carb. Anyway.
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
All right. Everybody up to date. What do we got?
Dan is at even.
I'm even Steven.
Right?
Yep.
Jeff is at, what was I at? Plus four, you said?
Four.
Plus four, yeah. He stopped. He went from five to four.
That sucks. Yeah. Cat is plus seven?
Yeah, I went plus one last week, so six to seven.
All right, good. Well, I don't care who goes
first.
Have at
it, Cat.
The one that I wanted to grab last week lost, so I'm out of that routine.
All right. Let's get this kicked off, folks. Look, man, I tried to downplay it yesterday when our man Riley said it on air because I didn't want you guys to take this one. But I'm taking the Baylor Bears to take down TCU.
Okay.
I like it.
Thanks, Riley.
You
have a number on that you'd like to share with us, or do I need to search? Let me search
number
here.
Plus two and a half. Plus two and a half.
There's a lot of scuttlebutt among Guggen Nation that if you don't start at least giving an NFL game, they're just not even going to listen to your picks. Ooh. I'm just saying. I don't know if that's true, if they'll really stand by that, but it seems to be a narrative, as it were.
People not like winning money?
Well, I don't know. I would assume that they would like that, yeah, but, I mean, it's not like any of us are putting anybody in a new tax bracket. You want me to go? You want to go, Dan? How do you want to do it?
You can go, my friend.
I have a game that doesn't make any sense, so I'm going to play it.
Okay.
I honestly, sometimes I see a line, guys, it's so nonsensical that it just tells me, okay, there's something here, there's something weird. Why would Army be a 10-point favorite over UConn?
I saw that game.
Why does it make any sense?
I know, it's very odd.
That's why I'm taking Army minus 10. There's something weird. Yeah. That game is that. Army's down year. They're not playing good. They've lost.
They're like 1-6, I think.
Yeah, they've lost a bunch in a row.
UConn's bowl eligible.
But they won last week. They're riding high.
Maybe it is.
Every time there's something this simple and I take the simple side, I lose.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to go against
the grain.
Yeah, I'm going to go Army minus 10. I don't believe it at all. I believe in Vegas's ability to try and trick us.
All right, I'll get this party started. For me, try to keep it rolling here, try to keep chipping away. Cat threw me some mush yesterday. I didn't appreciate that.
No.
Kind of annoyed me, quite frankly, and has kind of goaded me, and now I'm more determined than ever to fight through this as I take the long crawl back from at 1 point minus six. I'm going to go with the Seminoles against Louisiana.
What's it, 14?
It's 24.
24.
I'm going to lay the 24. FSU's rolling.
Big spread Dan back.
Big spread Dan is back. I'm also going to go with Duke plus 7.5. Pound that hook against Pitt.
I don't. That's another line I don't understand. Is Duke not better than Pitt? Is that game at?
It's at Pitt.
Yeah. That's still a lot of points.
So I'm going to take the Dukies, right. And those are going to be my two to start things off. As
I have another
pivot
game
back
here.
To Jeff Frost.
Perhaps I'm bogging you down in lower level football, so to speak. The Rice Owls are one win away from bowl eligibility. Look, UT San Antonio is a better program, but plus 13 at home? I'll subscribe to the Cats theory there. That's too big of a home dog. That might be worth throwing just a little bit on the money line. Big odds upset. I'll take Rice plus 13 in honor of the fact that I can no longer eat rice, one of my favorite foods.
And one of the great players in the history of the sport who played there, name in a
Jerry
name.
Rice.
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice.
Yes. A great Rice Owl.
all right, my turn.
Yes,
all right, well, I'm staying in the college game.
Of course you are. I don't think you have to say that.
all right, look. Riley tried to call him last week. I think he missed him by 1 week.
Okay.
He tried to call Big Suey. They covered.
Mm-hmm.
This week, I think they win outright.
Oh.
They're plus 2.5 dog at home mm-hmm. against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I think my old friend Lane is going to lay an egg on this one. He's 8-2. He's in pretty good position here to get himself into, you know, some top 10 stuff here. But I think they're going to lay an egg. Arkansas covers the 2.5. I think they win outright.
That makes sense to me.
And for my next pick.
Yes, sir.
This is risky. This is risky.
I like it.
They blew out. Actually, no. I'm gonna stick with tried and true Iowa. They're on the road at Minnesota. They're plus 2.5 dog. Iowa end of the year. For anybody who follows them, knows Kirk gets those guys going. They are machines at the end of the year. Give me Minnesota. Iowa.
Oh,
Iowa.
Okay.
2.5 over Minnesota.
That's minus 2.5.
Plus 2.5. They're a 2.5 dog on the road at Minnesota. Yep.
Let's hope PJ can row the boat.
I don't understand why Iowa.
DJ, when the boat stick is gonna be a rude awakening this week.
Uh-huh.
It seems like, why is Iowa an underdog every week?
Because they started
because people
so
don't
poorly.
Understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand. That's why I just asked.
Yeah.
Vegas doesn't understand maybe. Iowa. They don't understand the corn. They don't know the corn, gentlemen.
Is it Jeff?
Oh, it is. My turn. Oh, my bad. I was over still grazing through some.
Please
some
grace.
Ball games there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to go to where I'm comfortable. I'm going to go back to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to go against what I went in college. I said, I don't understand this line. I'm going to play the other way. I don't understand this line, but I'm going to ride it. I'm going to take the Giants at home minus 3 over Detroit.
Okay.
1-7-2, and I think the Giants are still rallying around. No one believes in us. I believe in you by 4, NYG. Go get them.
I like it. It's me?
It is.
Do I have 2?
You do.
Well, the song says, rain makes corn. Corn makes whiskey. Besides
whiskey
the fact,
makes my baby feel a little frisky.
Thank you, friend. I'll stop at Corn Makes Whiskey, and in honor of the Huskers, I like the 10.5 points I'm getting against whiskey. So
Nebraska,
corn versus whiskey.
Nebraska.
I'm taking corn plus 10.5.
Okay. Now you have another one.
My second pick, the National Football League. Speaking of whiskey, this is risky, but I'm going to do it. Because I think this team is elite, and I think they've had a week off, and I think they're going to cover the 13 points. Baltimore over Carolina.
Ravens minus 13.
Yes, sir.
All right. There's certain things in life that are near certainties, and the Patriots beating the little brother Jets is one of those.
Yes.
I mean, the Jets threw it all on the line, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago? They
did.
Beat New England, and they got walloped.
Yes.
Now we're going to go to New England this week. Correct me if I'm wrong, are the Patriots also not coming off a bye? It might be. I love them laying 3.
Okay.
Give me the Patriots minus 3.
Love them back.
My turn?
Yes, sir.
My bad, guys. Sorry.
Is this your fifth and final pick, Kat?
No, I got two more. Here's the last two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my last two.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this past week, Kansas State, they got me a big win.
Yes.
It was a drubbing. So they're coming off of a huge win, and they're heading to the burning couch town of America. West Virginia, folks. West, by God, Virginia.
Yes, sir.
They are going to have a rude awakening. They're going to have a burning couch under their butt. They're going to think it's warm, and it's going to cause them to lose this game.
Oh.
But West Virginia, Jeff's old stomping ground, is going to cover that 7.5 home dog point.
Country roads.
Take me home.
To the place I belong.
We're not in Munich, boys. Let's move along.
Move along.
My last pick. We're going to the band is on the field.
Oh.
We're going to Cal, folks. Stanford's coming to Cal. Cal is a 5-point favorite at home versus
Rivalry.
Stanford.
Rivalry
both
game.
Both teams are trash. They're both 3-7, but Stanford, the tree, because I love trees, is going to upset Cal, but they're going to cover the 5 points. They're a 5-point dog on the road at Cal. They're covering these points easy in that rivalry game.
Taking Stanford +5 and recommending a money line play is what that sounds like.
I like it because you get a little extra because it's 5 points, you know?
Yeah.
Jeffrey,
all right.
Last one?
Yeah, it's my last one. Stuck between a couple of couple of NFL games here. I'm going to fade the Vikings again. I think everybody's going to jump on the Vikings at home +2. I'll take Dallas -2 in minute.
Oh, I like that. My last pick is a simple one. I'm going to the NFL as well. I've thought about this long and hard. There is no last stand. It's over for the LA Rams. Cooper Kupp is out. Matthew Stafford has no one to throw to. I'm going to take the Saints, who are due for a good game after a few stinkers.
3.5.
I think they win. 3.5?
-3.5.
Oh, that's a 3.
That's up to 3.5. I think a lot of people are thinking like you. I don't think it'll be a 3-point game. You want to stick with it?
Yeah, I'll stay with it.
All right. Saints minus. All right, there you go. We'll get it posted. Kat, you missed the day that you should have been in here. You've come in here and you've looked sometimes hurt and embittered when the daily sandwiches come in like, oh, maybe Kat chat day. Well, today we just have a smorgasbord. I got to be honest. Boys, what are y'all thinking there on this food, man? I mean, we're not talking about a Mexican joint. This stuff is delicious.
Yeah, these tacos hitting.
Oh,
they hitting.
We got them all. Pork, chicken, beef, quesadillas, and that's the sandwich of the month at the Daily's Dash. And that's the Friday.
Thank you, Shark Coatings. Thank you, Kat.
Thanks, Kat.
There he goes.
Good luck, but not too good. We'll be back with more next. It's a GFL Friday. That's Green for Life. Look for those bright new green trucks and cans rolling all over town and count on it. Trust them for all your commercial roll-off needs. All right.
Following discussions between host country authorities and FIFA, a decision has been made to focus the sale of alcoholic beverages on the FIFA Fan Festival, other fan destinations, and licensed venues, removing sales points of beer from Qatar's FIFA World Cup 2022 stadium perimeters. There's
just
no
impact
to the sale of Bud Zero, which will remain available at all Qatar's World Cup stadiums.
Yeah, that's no alcohol, you understand. Mm-hmm. We're not talking zero sugar here, gang. Yeah,
this
that's
is a
weak,
disaster
man.
Again.
They're not aware of what like European soccer is all about.
I worry that
there's
going to
be And no, and by the way,
he just disappeared.
No,
where's right. Billy? Billy's gone.
Like, I'm being serious. I'm not worried that too many have to spend the night in jail. I'm worried they take a couple of these jokers behind the building and hang them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not kidding. They don't play, dude.
I know.
And if we're not learning with this Russia Brittany Griner thing, you don't. You know, if you're from Germany, it don't give a matter what they do in Germany. When you're in Qatar, you're in Qatar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Qatar, Qatar. I pronounce it a different way every time. Mm-hmm. I wish they would just tell us one way's wrong.
Yes.
Like they're not. Apparently you can now do it. Forever it was Qatar. And then suddenly when they got the World Cup, we were told it's Qatar. And now I'm told, well, it's good either way. So tomato, tomato. Give me a little bit of lowdown. I've heard Donna mention the Bulls plays the playoff game tonight. Give me a lowdown on the high school playoff scene.
Well, we
have a Creekside Bartram rematch.
We got Creekside Bartram, which is probably the most
the
exciting
game?
Game here in the area. I think Riverside goes to Reigns. I think that's a nice game as well. But Reigns is playing good football, and then the winner of that will take on the winner of the Bulls, Orlando Bishop Moore. Bishop Moore beat Bishop Kenny a week ago.
Are Bulls and Trinity not in the same anymore?
No. Trinity will win tonight, and UC will win tonight, and then Trinity and UC will play
those two
to go to the Final Four next week, which will be a great game. That'll be fun. And so I think those are the and then there's some South Georgia football as well. But it should be a good night of football. We lost a lot of teams. Others, really, I think Bartram Trail is the best bet to get a state championship from this area. And I don't say Trinity or UC just because of this Chaminade. Madonna is a powerhouse down south, and like even more so than Trinity and University Christian. So, but there are some, Colin Hurley's back playing again. So you LSU fans can go watch Trinity Christian. He'll be headed to the Bayou here in a after next year. He's a 2024, so congrats to that young man. Very good quarterback, and he'll be a lot of fun to watch. And then, like I said, Bartram Trail, Creekside. Bartram Trail handed it to him pretty good earlier this year. Creekside's really well coached, as is Bartram Trail, obviously.
Bartram, a big fan. I mean, if we don't do spreads in high school, but they'd be a couple touchdown favorite.
Yes. But it's a great rivalry game, and they'll get after each other, and Bartram Trail has a Florida commit cornerback, and so we talked to Riley Trujillo earlier this week, who's a quarterback for them as well. So I look forward to a great game.
You were talking about our cat was talking about the Stanford Cal game. Today is the anniversary of the Band Is on the Field game.
What year was that?
Top of my head,
the Band Is on the Field.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel? It's 40 years, 82. I think it's a big. I think it's a big anniversary. So, yeah, I think it's 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was a
The documentaries that they've done on is great with awesome. With a tuba or trombone.
Yeah.
What
yeah,
was it?
Tuba.
What?
Tuba guy.
Pushed that guy right run over in the end zone. Yeah. It was so good, dude.
That, by the way, wouldn't fly today, would it? Wouldn't he stop play?
Oh, who knows?
There was 150 people on the field.
So
and
good.
Stanford's just running it back.
Ain't no way that would go today.
All right.
That was Elway. That was Elway's team.
Yes. That's what people
forget. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Would they review it? What would they do? Like, if that play happened today, what would they do?
They'd go out to run it back.
I don't know, man.
I don't think so.
But it was at Cal, so they're the ones that are at fault. I mean, I guess you play to the whistle, but I mean, it's hard. Like I said, you've seen the highlights, right? There's 100. I mean, if you have it, and there's Simon Says, does he know what we're talking about? Yeah. If you haven't seen highlights of the Band game between Stanford and Cal so many years ago, it's worth looking it up
today.
All right,
so Cal's up 19-17 late in the fourth quarter. Elway and the Cardinal overcame a 4th-and-17 on their own 13. He had a 29-yard completion. He got the ball down to field goal range, called a timeout with 8 seconds left. Had Elway let the clock run down to 4 seconds before calling time, the ensuing kickoff would not have taken place since the clock would have run out on the field goal.
Well, actually, then Cal was at fault because – wasn't it? No. Okay, anyway, continue. Where is the game?
But Elway was under instruction from Coach Paul Wiggin to call timeout at the 8-second mark to allow time for a second field goal try. That was a big mistake. They made the kick. Stanford goes up 20-19. They did celebrate, so they got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on the ensuing kickoff. That was crucial. Stanford had to kick off from their 25 instead of the 40.
You want to know what's – just is surprising me.
What?
I thought this was the other way around. I thought Stanford returned and won the game.
No, Cal.
Yeah.
Can you name – this is a good one, and I'll tip my cap to you if you can.
Well,
can you name the guy who scored the touchdown?
I know that ESPN dude, Rod Gilmore, was on that team, but I don't know if he's actually the one that scored.
No, he isn't.
Is he a name you've heard before? Is he an NFL player?
No.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
You don't remember?
Uh-uh.
If I say the name, I think you'll remember.
Okay, who?
Kevin Moen. No?
Kevin Moen, did he not play in the league?
No, I don't think so.
How do you spell that name?
M-O-E-N.
No, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah. It was great, though. There's so many.
He gets a statue, by the way. It's going up this week.
Does he?
Yeah,
he
California Golden Bears Athletics to unveil statue of Kevin Moen.
Mm-hmm. You know who was a starting linebacker at Cal for that game? Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
How about that?
By the way, a lot of people would miss the trivia question. You feel like Ron Rivera played at USC, don't you?
You know who else was on those teams? Gary Plummer.
Yeah, another good linebacker.
Played on Super Bowl champions in San Francisco.
Yeah.
The most infamous participant in the play is Marriott Ford. He caught 7 passes for 132 yards and a touchdown in the game. Ford, who briefly played receiver for the Oakland Invaders of the USFL, was convicted of murdering his pregnant wife and 3-year-old son.
I knew that. That story I didn't know.
Kevin Moen had a short-lived professional career. He's a real estate broker in the L.A. area. He also was a head football coach at Palos Verdes Peninsula High School. So Gary Terrell was the trombonist. He's a venture capital firm CFO. Richard Rodgers Sr. played in the CFL. His son is Richard Rodgers II.
Played for the Lions, right?
The Packers. Didn't he catch a Hail Mary from Aaron Rodgers against Detroit,
He did.
Yeah. Gail Gilbert was the starting quarterback for Cal.
He played in the league. His son is Garrett Gilbert. Gail Gilbert is a trivia question. Isn't he the one that was like, he's won like Super Bowls for 4 teams? He was the backup on the Super Bowl team like 4 years in a row?
5 straight Super Bowl teams.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. John Tuggle, Mr. Irrelevant. And he was promoted to starting fullback when Rob Carpenter went down with an injury. It's incredible, man.
But what it's a iconic game in college football history, for sure. All right, just a couple things.
He says Joe Starkey with the call. All right, here we go with the kickoff. Harmon will probably try to squib it, and he does. Ball comes loose, and the Bears have to get it out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline. Another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of the ball is loose as they get it to Rodgers. They get it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He got into the end zone.
Why don't we play that when we come back? How about that? And we've still got a little bit to go here on a GFL Friday. I do want to just say something to you.
Yes, sir.
You keep mentioning your guy, Bol Bol.
Yeah, I love Bol Bol. Yeah. Love him too.
We've had a Filipino brother on the text line today.
Uh-huh.
Tell us that he can't help but break out laughing every time you say Bol Bol, because apparently in Philippines that's pubic hair.
Well, I mean 9 o'clock nasty.
Hey, Manute. I mean, what are we doing, Manute? Hey, you can't name your kid pubic hair.
What is he doing?
I'm just telling you. What do you mean?
It's 9 o'clock.
Are you on it? The things that you say on this program,
what's he doing?
Pubic hair bothers you,
right? Right.
I mean, that's almost like that's like textbookish. That's not even nasty. You say some untoward things. By the way, before we go to break, Shazam spotlight. Shout out to our boy Leroy Butler. Did you see last night?
Yeah,
got his name in the Ring of Honor up there, and then he put that gold jacket on, and he went and he did a Lambo leap.
Hello.
Shazam. Oh, in the snow, by the way. So there you go. All right, back with more as we begin the 9 o'clock hour next on a GFL Friday.
Harmon will probably try to squib it, and he does. Ball comes loose, and the Bears have to get out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline, another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going to go into the end zone. The Bears have won. The Bears have won. Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
The great thing about that
is that dude's retiring this week, by the way. What a big moment so young in your career, right? He had to be in his 20s.
The great thing about football back then, and if that happened today, we'd have flags, we'd have to review it, we'd have
controversial.
The
band would sue for getting pushed.
He's like, it's over. The Bears have won! The Bears have won! It's over. Speaking of over, Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing had a nice flight back from Green Bay last night. Might have got into the little bottles because he was picked up for a little DUI last night in
no bueno.
Tennessee.
Little Dewey?
Offense coordinator Todd Downing arrested for Dewey and speeding. Mm. Downing posted bond at 7 a.m.
The good news is he wasn't in Cutter.
No.
I got more on this. This comes from the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures.
Intake date 4:39 a.m.
You're right. It's right on the game back, and maybe had a couple in the parking lot, like old high school coaches. Yep. Just put the tailgate down and have a few.
Mm-hmm.
I get this from the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Yes. There's a video going around of a news person from another country in Qatar doing a report on everything. And Qatar security police threatened to break the camera and tell him to stop videoing, despite the fact he's got a press pass around his neck. Yeah. This is going to be a disaster.
Oh, yeah. It was like a Dutch guy, I think.
It's going to be an international incident. Something is going to happen here. And these fools from FIFA, is that what the F stands for?
Fools in First Academy. There's no S in there for soccer. What does FIFA stand for?
Football.
Football.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Come on.
Who knew?
Yeah. Somebody.
They call that football over there? Do they now? Who knew? Yeah, it's not going to be good. Not going to go well.
People are asking, we will be off Thursday, Friday will be our Thanksgiving schedule. I know you guys are doing, we're like your Thanksgiving turkey, so.
We're not here Thursday?
You and Doc will come in. I can't wait until the text Wednesday night. Doc will text us Wednesday night. Are we doing a show tomorrow? Doc, it's Thanksgiving for peace. Doc's got a little better now. He's going to step away.
Doc will enjoy his
just a little bit, but.
Yeah. We have a Hicken record, 27 scheduled to attend Thanksgiving.
At your Thanksgiving. Ours is in a little bit of upheaval.
Mm-hmm.
We have done, traditionally the last few years, we've done Thanksgiving with my side of the family, with Holmes and Nance and my brother and his wife and daughter and then my kids and all that. And it's been a lovely get-together.
Mm-hmm.
But Nance had some little health issues, so they're kind of shutting it down. They're keep staying at home for the week. I'll just take them some food, I guess. And my brother, they're off to Mexico somewhere. You know, the guy thinks he's, Joe Suave. I don't know what to tell you. They bought property and everything.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Propiedad.
Living next to Rico.
So we will go, so we'll be back to the old, we'll go old school in-laws, buddy.
Okay.
Down on the farm. Oh, yeah. Forget the no carbs that day, friend. That is the ultimate.
What time does the ball start?
Cheat day. Joe Starkey, by the way, was the announcer. He's actually 81. So, yeah, was young in his career, but he's already in his 40s when he did that.
FSU Florida hoops tonight. FSU may get a player or two back. They're down to 7. Just some interesting numbers on FSU. Leonard, as we talked about, built his team and made the switch to playing 12 guys, and that's what has worked for him. Well, when they lost to Troy, he played 5 players for 30-plus minutes. That's unheard of. Well, they haven't been 0-4 in 63 years. So if they lose tonight, they will drop to 0-4.
That's amazing.
1960 was the last time they were 0-4.
Why do I feel like Florida will lose the game? It's just the Gator in me?
Hamilton and staff ideally want at least 230 passes in each game. The Seminoles' limited depth of late has pushed the season's passing numbers to as little as 65.5.
I don't react this way, Dan, but I want to know all of these basketball experts who fire and hire all the coaches in Gainesville. Are they ready to fire Todd Golden if he loses to overmatched FSU?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's all these buffoons. I mean, that's a realistic question. They just blow like the wind with their basketball expertise.
They're being quiet right now.
They all played upward when they were 8, so they've got all the answers. But
Colin Castleton's off to a great start. Yeah. He's averaging 25 points a game, 9 rebounds, and 4 blocks. So. He's going to have to come up big, but even when he does come up big, there may not be enough if they don't shoot the ball well, and they have not shot the ball particularly well to start. Again, we get all these transfers in who average 18 points here and 19 points there, and then we watch them shoot, and they go, it's Brick City.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
I do think that this transfer class is a little sturdier than
but Florida should win overall. The game tonight.
Yeah, they should.
What are the odds on that game?
That's a good question.
I'd like to know the odds on that particular game.
You know me. I'm very good at this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if things go belly up here, I could move to Vegas with our boys at VSIN, and I could be not bet
capper.
The games, but I can set the game. I can capper. Set the line. Yeah, I could cap the games. I can't tell you who's going to win all the time.
No.
All right, but so I'm going to say without looking that Florida will be a 4-point favorite.
All right.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. 0-3, sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what we got here. Mm-hmm. College basketball tonight.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
This is exciting. This is a proof and performance right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of college basketball games today, friend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Oh, what's he want?
I don't know. Probably has something to do with the triviality of the band game. Let's see. We're almost there. It's exciting. Florida is. Whew. 7-point favorite.
Wow.
It opened 5.5, so it has moved, I guess, with the news that it opened at 5.5, and then people actually went to bet the game. They said, FSU's 0-3? What? It's gone up a little bit. I would not play Florida -7.5 with your money, buddy.
Well, let's go to the Fair phone line and welcome the man, the legend.
Oh.
Get smart, John. He's bald, he's beautiful, he smells. Why am I introducing
John him? Used to come in on Wednesdays of Thanksgiving week and bring food and give us a big, you know, a big extra show. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I do remember that. That's fun. Still not out of the question, you know.
This is not one of those cases.
He was
where
angling.
I wasn't angling there, although it's very fair to think that I was. That's a typical Prosser angle, so. But I wasn't in that case. In fact, I don't want you in here Wednesday. I'll be that rude. No, kid.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you very much. Okay. So I stumbled across, going back 17 years ago, 2005, one of the very first trivia questions, first time I ever asked you guys trivia questions. And if you recall how it happened, I was a caller, and I explained how I do trivia on the side. Oh, well, ask us a couple trivia questions. Remember how? And then, of course, it turned into this segment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So here's the question.
Okay.
Okay. What year did the NFL go from a 14-game season to a 16-game?
I can get this. It's earlier than you think. I think most people would answer in the 80s. It's in the late 70s.
Isn't it like 80?
I think it's before 80. I think it was, well, 79.
You know what? Within one. I'll say within one because I thought you guys would know this.
If it's within one, then 79 is what we need to go with. But you may be right. It may be 80. I don't. I just know the Falcons made the playoffs in 77 in a 14-game season. Mm-hmm. And it's 80 or 81 or 79. It's one of those. So we'll go 80.
Well, you said 70s first.
But that's because late 70s they played in 70. It could be 80 for sure. My guess would be 79 or 78, but...
Well, then let's...
Go 79. It's not 81.
Couch it, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 79.
Yeah.
Good choice. 1978.
Yeah, 78. Yeah. So it was 70.
And since you said it, speaking of the Cal-Stanford game, can you tell me who Cal's coach was? I can give you a little hint.
Yeah.
He was a quarterback in the Super Bowl.
Joe Capp.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just thought I'd reminisce, you know, 17 years and
love it.
Still going strong. All
love
right, guys.
It.
Take care.
Thank you, Dan. We'll have a good weekend.
You know, Dan, as a struggling Atlanta fan as a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was probably even more of a fan then as a 10, 12, 14-year-old than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I the Braves and the Falcons, they weren't bad, Dan, like my first 10, 12 years. They were the worst in their league, in each league. I mean, it was just terrible. And finally, in 1977, the Falcons, in a 14-game season, made the playoffs.
Okay.
And they played the Philadelphia Eagles, and they won the game 14-13. Would you recall why that happened that way? The Eagles lost their kicker before the game started. He got hurt in warm-ups. So they had no kicker. And so the only reason Atlanta won the game is because the Eagles couldn't kick the extra point.
Oof. Interesting. Who is the – I'll ask you two this question. I have a vote. I think this guy is the strangest superstar in the NBA.
Gosh, there's so many that we could choose from. But
strangest superstar.
It's not Kyrie?
And it's not Kyrie.
Okay. Superstar.
Yeah. Could it be Kyrie? Can we
change? Could be, yes.
All right, strange.
It probably is Kyrie, but this isn't who I'm thinking of.
Okay. Strange is such a, very word.
Kawhi.
Kawhi.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is odd.
He's an odd bird, isn't
he? Yeah, he is.
I've lost my respect. I thought he was a gamer. He's not. He's a Jake, man. He sits around and collects checks. And then if he's on a team with a, I don't think it matters if they have a chance. He is an odd dude.
He doesn't play enough.
He's soft. I don't like him. I was a big Kawhi guy forever, and he has just stuck it to a ball.
We'll go into detail why he wouldn't play the first 12 games of the year.
He won't play. He's just weak, man.
He scored 6 points last night, 25 minutes.
Yeah, I don't.
Says coming back from an ACL is a 2-year process. I'm basically couching myself for another year. In other words, I'm not going to be much this year. I'll probably be sitting out a lot. I don't know, man. It's just a different kind of cat.
God, that takes me back, man.
He snapped his double-figure streak at 177 straight regular season games. He scored in double figures. You know what the longest streak, who has the current active streak for the longest of scoring in double figures?
Steph?
Kawhi is 177.
Steph?
No. The second longest is 180.
LeBron?
LeBron, 1,106.
Wow. That's crazy. Let's take a phone call here from the Ox Gator.
Oh, the Gator. Big game Ox going up to Nashville.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a big one.
Nashville. Yeah. Gonna,
don't you come back with a loss, big game.
We'd have to tie it to the top. I don't think they'd let me put it in the overhead if we took this L. I'm flying through Atlanta. We used to go to Atlanta for SEC title game. Now I'm going to Atlanta just hoping and praying that we can get a W up in Nashville.
Oh, gosh.
It's not what it used to be, boys, but Nashville's a fun city. 21's the low tomorrow morning.
Ooh,
so
nice. Better to you than me, friend.
Yeah, it's going to be cold. The wife has gotten a heated vest, heated seats, heated socks, and some heated gloves.
Have you talked to the wife yet, Gator?
Mm-hmm.
When it's, I don't know, 9.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, and she taps you on the shoulder as you're sitting there freezing to death and says, hey, let's go now. How does that work?
We had that conversation. And
did you?
I said, do not. I said, we're going and we're going to stay till the end.
Okay.
I don't need to be told, hey, can we leave with Florida up 3 and the Commodore is driving in the third quarter. Okay. We're there. Well, we got to pull hard for the boys.
So you got to make sure that vest is working strong for her then to keep her warm.
We're going to be charging that thing in the hotel room. So we used to just go up there and we'd win by 50. But, not this year. Not this year.
Are you at all concerned? Do you like the Gators of the 14?
I don't like the Gators in 14.
No.
Because I don't like the Gators in 2.
I think Florida would lay the 14. You're going to listen to me, Ox. You can thank me later. You're going to come back. And if you don't, if it doesn't, I know you. I'll be the first place you call next Monday. You're gonna thoroughly enjoy a frolicking romp in Nashville Memorial Stadium like the old days 42-10. So
let me ask you a question. If at the end of the third quarter we're swaying as the band plays, and she says now because it's 48-16. Then what, Gator? Will you be willing to leave at that point?
No. I mean, we got to stay. We can go for a record. What if we score, hang 82 on them like against the Chippewas that time back then?
So, staying to the end, Gator.
We got to get the W. We got to get the W. We got to stay to the end and watch the boys celebrate and sing the alma mater.
All right.
That's your business. I'm going to let you take care of that.
You have a great time, Gator.
We got our own families to manage, Ox. I mean, can I get the remote for an hour? Is it? Good enough challenge for me.
It's a challenge.
A challenge at all. I just go in the other room.
They don't
care.
Who
are we kidding now? The kids are gone. We got two TVs. Yeah. And everyone's happy.
Oh, easy.
All right, we'll come back. And what are we going to do today?
We're doing New York City headlines.
New York City headlines. When we return, it's a GFL Friday.
All right, welcome back to the program. It's 9:38. I know you got a big event coming up your way here in December, if I'm not mistaken.
December 16th.
What do you got going on? You're trying to give back to the community a little bit.
So I've always been like a natural gifter. That's just in me. I feel like the good Lord put me on this earth to make other people smile.
Yes.
And one of those ways I do that is, by giving back with my sock drive.
Mm-hmm.
Socks are the least donated item, but the most requested item by the less fortunate.
Right.
So 5 years ago, I got together with some friends and family, and I put together a sock drive, gave out 200 pairs of socks.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to this year, I've given out over 2,000 pairs of socks to the less fortunate, along with other essential needs. Not too long ago, I had a party, and it was a sneaker ball where everyone dressed up nice and neat, wore their suits, wore their gowns, but everyone wore sneakers. So I decided to combine the two together, and I'm also inviting the public to be a part of that. So there's a couple ways you could be a part of the sneaker ball. If you don't want to attend, I have a GoFundMe set up. You can go to GoFundMe, type in Sock It To Me Sneaker Ball, Sock It To Me, the number 2 Me Sneaker Ball, and you could donate to the cause. or you can attend.
I just went to GoFundMe and looked at it, and I typed in Emmanuel, and you popped up. So,
hey,
so there's ways to find
there's ways to find it. Or you can go on the Eventbrite and purchase a ticket and actually attend the event. Now, it's going to be a fun event. There's going to be live music.
Yeah.
There's going to be giveaways. It's going to be a good time. It's something to give back, something to dress up and have a good time, all while supporting the cause.
Now, you are is this a black tie affair?
This is a black tie red carpet affair.
You're looking sharp there.
Hey, that's just something light, man.
Yeah.
Wait till y'all see me that night.
Can this rival the blue suit?
I don't think the blue suit want to see me. I don't think the blue suit want to see me, man.
Well, I need to make sure we take care of that there when we get to the Christmas time of the season. But, yeah, so check it out. Help E out. And he's just helping out the community here and doing some good things. So
before you get to the headlines from the from the –
thank you, E.
And we love the Guganella much more than the – I mean, we love you, Gugans, but the Guganellas run the world, and we bow down before them. speaking to what Ox's, you know, mandate is going to Nashville.
Yes.
About leaving the game.
Yes.
Alexa writes in, the Hubs only allowed pee breaks at halftime. Asking to leave early was not allowed, ever. For example, Florida, Nebraska, 60, what was that score?
Oh, God.
Saw the last snap.
God bless
Sigh.
You. Yeah. Side is right. And listen, I would have left.
Yeah.
I had to do interviews at the end.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that game. It was so cold that night, and the media was way up on top, like on top.
That's
and
what they do
way
to you
up.
In Tempe, yeah. And, you sit outside almost, too.
And at halftime, it was such a bad score. I didn't care. I just went and sat in the press box and drank hot cocoa and barely watched the second half.
That was a very depressing game.
Yeah, but anyway.
I don't.
So you're a better woman than I am a man.
I have.
Guganella.
The Jaguars have frustrated me into leaving early before.
Jaguars are frustrated.
Right?
Yes.
I don't blame the fans that leave at the end of third to beat the traffic.
No. In fact, when Brooks was little, he thought games were only 30 minutes long. Mama would take him at halftime.
All right,
crank up the music, E. I need some New York City headlines here to head into the weekend.
Perhaps somewhat regrettably, they're brought to you by Pet Paradise, who is much better and a class act as opposed to New York City headlines, but... Visit your local Pet Paradise and go to petparadise.com.
Wonderful headline here. I think very creative. Beerly departed. World Cup abruptly bans brew with millions of Budweisers already in Qatar.
I mean.
Beerly departed.
What a scam they pulled off on the sporting world getting this. And now, by the way, it's only 1,000 degrees. It's kind of beer drinking weather.
Wild thunder snow video captures lightning strike as storm ravages Buffalo.
You want to see one of the real geeked out videos in the history of man, check out Jim Cantore of the Weather Channel. He's off doing a remote, and they have one of those lightning, you know, a thunder snowstorm, and he loses his mind. He's like a four-year-old.
Last look, Paige Speranek shows her cleavage for the last time as Twitter's troubles mount.
Yeah, and in other news, Paige Speranek disappears from... from the consciousness of America.
Waking news, carefree Ivanka hits the waves as she rebuffs dad. Ivanka isn't budging.
I don't know what she's rebuffing him for.
She's out of politics.
I think just about
just read them.
Yeah, I think everybody's rebuffing dad, quite frankly. Dad might want to take a bit of a clue off of it.
No giveaways. Tom and Giselle Foundation gave less than 0.1% of their worth from 07 to 19.
The foundation itself or them out of their pocket?
I just read them.
How can you have a foundation and you don't raise any money? I blame Giselle. She probably spent it on boy toys.
Emily Ratajkowski subtly supports Kimmy K during Pete Davidson romance.
I mean, these guys are so, God, they're so full of themselves. Like, we care how, first of all, how did Emily Ratajkowski support Kim K, by the way? And secondly, who gives a rip? I hate them.
More cheer, Rockettes Christmas Spectacular kicks even higher with winged fairy drones.
Okay. I know at Christmas time, I think of a few things. Winged fairies, not one of them. Since when are winged fairies a part of Christmas?
Chris Rock returns to the scene of the slap, and he's got jokes.
Yeah, you know, I've lost a lot of respect for Chris Rock and the way he didn't stand up for himself through all this.
Yeah,
right?
I'm over that. I'm over all of that.
Yeah.
Groom's creepy mom wears white bedazzled gown to son's wedding.
In other words, it looks like a bridal gown. So, yeah, she's creepy.
Jeopardy! Bible clue sparks hellfire debate over New Testament.
Now, see, that's thinks that you can only give me the clue. I'm
can
curious
only do it, yeah.
What it might be. Jeopardy had another well-founded criticism the other day. They gave a clue about that Brian Laundry murder.
That was bad.
That was so out
really
of date.
Really bad.
That's when you know that the idiot 28-year-olds have taken over the question-writing
process.
We
need Trebek back.
Yeah.
Horse returns to owner after 8 years of running with wild Mustangs. It's a miracle.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you heard me right. You heard me right.
Okay.
Heidi Montag reveals her and Spencer Pratt's second son's unique name. Pratt. We're going to have to look. That's New York City headlines. We
I'm trying
have more.
To think what goes with Pratt. That would be like, you know.
Jack Pratt. Could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean.
Is it Jack? No.
Hold on.
Isn't Heidi Montag a former Jeter lover?
I don't think so.
Oh. It wouldn't surprise me. Is she good looking? Then yes, she is. We're just looking for the name,
man.
Looking for the name. If we get the name, we can go to break. But until
look at
then,
that belly.
We'll not leave you hanging. Chris Pratt's next child.
In 07, in 17, they welcomed their son, Gunner. That's
nothing,
fine.
Whatever. Gunner.
Cool name.
Yeah, I like Gunner.
Gunner. No one ever knows what happened to the other name. We'll be back with more, perhaps with an answer as well. Introduce you to Jaguars today and put a wrap on a GFL Friday. You're listening to
The
Drill.
We got no name.
Now, the 2-Minute Drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping 1010XL talking with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
Hello, Tone.
Good morning.
Jaguars today coming up here momentarily. What's cooking on a Friday?
We'll have Tommy Mack in with us. Dempsey on assignment.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure the assignment is a golf course with Mike Barocco this morning.
Okay.
Based on the conversations when they were heading out the door yesterday. Mm-hmm. But he'll be back on Tuesday, so it'll be me and Tommy Mack today as we react to the first 10 weeks of the season for this Jaguars team. Our question of the day today, asking you to make one bold prediction for the final 7 games of the season for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I want a marquee win, like a win over somebody.
Is Baltimore big enough for it to be the marquee win?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I take that. I take Dallas. I take Tennessee up there or here. One of those four? Can we win one of those four?
Yeah. I heard the conversation on the way in yesterday where Pross was going through, okay, this is what Tennessee has coming up on the schedule. Mm-hmm. Jaguars get a couple of wins, coming out of the bye week here, and then Tennessee goes and blows it up last night with a win over Green Bay.
All right, my man. Have a great show.
Thank you.
Tommy Mack in as well, and Tony ready to roll. Jaguars today, our work is done this week. We must move on now. Jeffrey.
I hope you have a great weekend.
Yes, you too.
Just not better than mine. We'll see you on Monday.
Ooh, competition.
Bye, Felicia.